B-Pod Studios.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Football Monday. Mike Misnelli Show, broadcasting the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Gang is back together today. You know, this is one of those shows that I always say writes itself, right? I'm doing Doug Peterson, right? I do that. You saw the game yesterday. You saw how they lost. You saw how bad this team is. And then today, I listened to the coach, a desperate man who made pathetic excuses and false bravado about his resume. And I've come to a very strong conclusion that there is no way the Eagles can proceed with Doug Peterson as the head coach. There needs to be a fire hose that comes through this thing. And it needs to start with the owner taking responsibility that both the coach and general manager have to go. And I know a lot of people will say, well, how could you, from your bully pulpit, Sports Talk Radio, to call for anybody's job? Well, you know, I'm invested in this team just like everybody else, and I see what's going wrong with this team. And I see a hierarchy that is not capable of fixing it. So I'm pretty clear-minded when it comes to this. I've seen enough of Doug Peterson. I've seen enough of Howie Roseman, and there needs to be a change. And you can just go on and on and on. There was a coach in yesterday's game that had no idea what he was doing. And here's how I prove it, okay? First of all, they're not well-drilled, they're not well-coached, because any team in the NFL this late in the season that can have five or six false starts is not a well-coached team. You can start with that. Then you can go on to the questionable fourth down decisions where he had no idea what to do on fourth down. None. He wants to go for it one time. He doesn't want to go for it the next time. He makes it four down territory, and then he throws a short swing pass to set up a long fourth down. Now, if you're going to make fourth down territory there, you make sure you get the ball down the field so you at least have a manageable fourth down if you're going to go for it, like a fourth and six, not a fourth and 15. And then when you have a fourth and 15, you think it's better to convert that than it is for a kid to kick a 51-yard field goal. That's the one thing the kid can do. He can't make anything 30 yards. But he can make a 50-plus. And I'm going, what is going through this coach's head? This coach cannot sort out thoughts to coach a game, to prepare a team. And he has to go. It's really as simple as that. And he, I think he knows he needs to go. And in a desperate move today, tried to save his job by currying favor with himself, thinking that the fan base would buy his lame rationales of what he's done in the past and how much experience he has in the NFL. I played in the league. You played your sister, all right? You didn't really play in the league. All right, you have NFL experience. I get it. Whatever goodwill you had in this town, you have erased in 3 years. And so we go through this whole thing, and we buy mumbo-jumbo, like, oh, my God, Jalen Hurts. They should have had him in there a long time ago. Look how different they look with Jalen Hurts. What did I say about Jalen Hurts when he took over? I said, yeah, he'd probably give him some energy because he can make plays with his legs. But chances are, over these last four games, he's not going to establish himself as a franchise quarterback, as the guy you should move forward with. Is there anybody that thinks that now? I know we had a couple decent games. We had a bad game. But I really look inside yourself and go to yourself, can Jalen Hurts, am I comfortable riding with Jalen Hurts as my franchise quarterback from this moment on? I don't think you'll come to a conclusion yes. So that leaves this organization and team in total limbo. Total limbo. And that means they need to start over. And they got to start over with Carson Wentz. It's really as simple as that. And the only way you start over with Carson Wentz is you get rid of this head coach who has no idea how to coach Carson Wentz. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. And I'm not saying it because I'm pro Carson Wentz, because I'm really not. But I see the logic in this, and you can't get rid of him because of the money. So you might as well change something that would accommodate the guy you chose as the franchise quarterback instead of making some knee-jerk reaction, keeping Doug Peterson, moving Wentz, and having Jalen Hurts be your starting quarterback. Because I'll say the same thing I said before. Hopefully he plays well enough that you can trade Jalen Hurts and get some value. And then you have a new coaching staff starting over with Carson Wentz. That's my solution. If that's not your solution, that's fine. Whatever your solution is, that's why we're here today. But you saw that mess. You saw a guy incapable. Look at that game. Look at the way that game went. He starts off with the run and the read, zone reads, and they're moving the football, which is probably the only way you can win that game yesterday, since Dallas can't stop it. And all of a sudden, you go off it, and you panic, and you still have the lead. And like, what did you see yesterday? Because that's what I saw. On every level, this guy had no idea how to coach that game yesterday. And then I hear the press conference today where he's trying to sell himself. I've had enough. I'm out. All right, so crew, you just heard what I had to say. What do you have to say about what you saw yesterday? Tyrone?
Well, it gets even worse, Mike, because I'm looking at some of this money. They're over the cap. You're talking about a solution. And I think your solution is the only one. I think you do have to clean house for this reason alone. Let's say you want to get rid of some of these veterans. You're going to trade Ertz. Let's say you want to get rid of Carson and Alshon and Deshaun, which would make sense because you want to start over.
Mm-hmm.
That would cost you $50.6 million in your cap to get rid of those three guys.
Yeah.
Howie has put this team in a position where, one, they don't have any talent, and they're limited in their ways to acquire talent. You can't tell me, how in the world do you box yourself in? And don't get me started on the kicker. That's an $8 million hit if you want to get rid of him. Just though, if you want to get rid of Wentz, it still costs you $10 million to get rid of Alshon and $6 million to get rid of Deshaun Jackson. This is what whoever takes over is going to be handed.
Mm-hmm.
That person has to have pedigree. That person has to be smart. That you need someone who's more capable of this crew to get out of this mess if we're going to salvage having a season the next couple of seasons. Other people will say, oh, just wait till 2022 and then you'll have cap space. Well, if you don't make changes, you're going to have inadequate people making decisions with that cap space.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something. And that whole Jalen Hurts was the savior. That, and I'm not trying to say anything bad about it. What I'm saying is he's not the savior the way people say. Oh, and he started sooner. Mm-hmm. The Eagles would have made the playoffs. No, they wouldn't. This roster stinks. The coaches stink. And that goes on to two people, Howie and Doug. And you can blame Carson, who didn't even play, all you want. It's Howie and Doug. It's been Howie and Doug all year. And all these people that have tried to deny it need to finally step up and admit it. It's Howie and Doug. It's been them the whole time. It's not anybody else. It's them two.
Yes, I agree. Natalie, I know you're disgusted.
I am.
This whole thing.
Well, but you know what? I'm secretly glad, and this is awful to admit, that it kind of went down that way yesterday, because like Ty said, they can't blame the quarterback anymore. The errors are obvious. They're so unprepared, and if I have to sit through another season of Eagles football and watch what we watch this season next year, that's enough. The fan base deserves better, and somebody has to answer for it. Something has to be done. They cannot leave this intact with the way that it is now and expect the fans to come back.
Yeah, I look at this. If you want to look at one part of this game, you can look. First of all, not scoring a point in the second half is pretty much an indictment of Jalen Hurts. Okay, he was very average and mistake prone yesterday, as I thought he would be as time would go on. Now, somehow there was a turn of events in the game where all right, so Dallas gets the big play to Amari Cooper on Jaquette, which is another story altogether, that he was allowed to try to cover guys, and he's like totally not an NFL player, and it took him to, you know, but not that they're going to be that much better with Jalen Mills, but that kid doesn't belong in the NFL. So what they did on that drive, which looked like a touchdown was going to put the game away, they held him to a field goal. So they're kind of still in the game with a lot of time left. It's 20-17, and then Slay makes the interception. All right, so a good team now, a well-coached team, will figure out a way. You got to score there, and then you're a touchdown away. There's plenty of time left. Well, what happens? Here it is. First play, Hurts is incomplete to Rager. Second play, they get Sanders for 10, but a holding penalty on Pryor. Then a false start on Hurts, and they keep going back. Then a pass is batted down. Then a false start, Sayamalu.
Now they go short to Ertz, on a, which is both the coach's fault and the quarterback's fault, that he throws a little bailout pass that sets up a 4th and 15, which then they decide to go for. And they throw another swing pass to Ertz. And they're like, the whole thing is discombobulated. They got a break, had no idea what to do with it because they're not a well-coached team. Two false starts on that means they're not a well-coached, disciplined team. And I'm tired of people here hearing that people say, well, they do play for Doug. They really respect him. They play for him. Do they? Those false starts, does that tell you they're playing for a guy?
115 yards.
Ridiculous.
Penalties.
The whole thing's ridiculous. All right, listen. This is, like I said before, a show that writes itself. So it'll write itself with your comments today. And we'll touch on the Sixers because teams lose games like that in the NBA to bad teams, right? But I'm looking at a bigger picture. And I'll get to that in a little while because it does involve Ben Simmons. And you know that, like, Ben Simmons keeps me up at night. So I was up last night. So we'll get into that eventually. Here's how you get in, 610-632-0975. Football Monday on the Fanatic is brought to you by Bryan Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Bryan Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable in every season. With flexible financing options for every budget, to find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, just visit nopaybryant.com. Mike Missinelli Show, Football Monday. Back with your calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All righty, it is the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 2:20 on a Football Monday. It's time to start our Twitter poll at the 2 o'clock hour, being brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester today. Twitter poll, let's start it. Brought to us, Paul B. Moyer and Sons. And in the middle of winter, you might be thinking about a snowblower, a generator. Well, Paul B. Moyer and Sons is Doylestown's where you go. Good old-fashioned customer service. They're in Doylestown, and you can order online at paulbmoyer.com. All right, Natalie, what do we have?
All right, Mike, over 200 votes on this one so far. Should Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman's job be safe now that the Eagles will officially miss the playoffs? 3% say yes, it's mainly Wentz's fault. 6% say no, bad coaching. 18% say no, bad roster. And 73% say no, bad coaching and roster.
Well, and that indicts both of them. And listen, I'm going to make the case. I'm not just out here cause trouble, because I'm going to make the case for it. Doug Peterson has failed all year to be a savvy coach. I think we can all agree to that. And after what I just heard of him desperately trying to save his job as if nothing bad happened on his watch, I'm out. All right? Now, with Howie Roseman, I want you to answer this question. Where has Howie Roseman, when you look at this team, where has he paid off? Where? From his decisions to rely on older players who had nothing for him in Jason Peterson, Alshon Jeffery, and DeSean Jackson. They made one play yesterday, and that's what they got out of DeSean Jackson, basically. From his drafting, which we know has been terrible, second round especially, and he's got Rager as his first round pick. Does Jalen Rager, all due respect, look like a marquee number one dude to you? I don't think so. He's probably a gadget player. That's what you got with the number one pick. Well, everybody else got a franchise player like CeeDee Lamb or Jefferson. Let's look at the signings he made. The defensive tackle signings. Have they paid off? Malik Jackson and Hargrave, they've really paid off for you? Barnett, first round draft pick.
What, he's hurt every other day. What has he done? When he plays, is he that efficient? There hasn't been one hit where you go, boy, he was really savvy bringing in that player. Who was it? Am I missing somebody?
No, and he's drafted in the recent time. He's drafted one Pro Bowler, and that was the guy who they undermined it in April when they drafted Hurts. That's Carson Wentz. That's the only Pro Bowler that he has drafted. The three guys that made it this year, they go back to the Reed era. Graham. they go back to the Reed era. He has done nothing well.
Just line it up and tell me where I'm wrong. And if I'm the owner, if I'm a sports star who's taking inventory of that, and I own the football team, I'm not taking inventory of this? I mean, just in that game yesterday, you saw a bad football coach. Yeah, he had a bad team to try to play with. But you saw his decisions. It was fourth and WTF. He had no idea what he was doing on fourth down.
And right there, Mike, you mentioned it on social media at the time, so not in hindsight. You kick the field goal, you go down 10, you leave the field on a positive note. We just got points. Instead, you go for it on 4th and 15. You don't get close, and you give it right back to Dallas.
What's the likelihood of you converting on 4th and 15?
And you know your receivers aren't good.
That's what my point is.
You don't have any guys.
You have analytics guys who are supposed to examine that. Now, the kid has been an inconsistent kicker, but he usually is okay from 50.
Right, it's a 50-yarder, 50-51. It's makeable. It can put you down 10, and you're in the game. Once you miss that, now you're thinking the next time, because the clock, Dallas started to get success running with Elliott and Pollard, what you knew is you're going to have less time, and what led to was Hurts throwing that interception in the end zone because he's pressing because he knows they got to score touchdowns because of the situation.
And here's the thing. A coach has to know whether that's four down territory. I don't even know that he knew when it was four down territory. He's flying by the seat of his pants there. But if he did realize it was fourth down territory, how do you call the third down play? Gives you nothing. So if you're going to set yourself up to go for it on fourth down, you just threw away a third down. In that case, your decision is really easy to kick the field goal. It's like he doesn't think. I'm sick of it. I need somebody who is a thinker, who can go along with the game. I'm done with this guy. I'm done with this general manager. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Joe and Broomall. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Mike, happy holidays to you.
How you doing, buddy?
Mike, forgive me from the get-go, because I want to kind of take you back to Thursday. First of all, I agree with you. I like Wentz. I'm sorry. Ever since Jalen Hurts came up, I didn't see any difference, and I saw Wentz. One. Now, for one reason or another, I happened to poke my eye in on TV on Christmas Day. And the sports morning show on another network came on. And they were talking about the Wentz issue. Listen to this from, I think, Tannenbaum, the former New York Jets general manager. Mm-hmm. This is what he said. Here's how you're going to solve the Wentz thing. Oh, you know, the guy says, how are you going to do it? Wentz is going to sign a $20 million check and give to the Eagles. And then he said New England or Indianapolis, whoever wants them both, are going to reimburse him for that check. Now, I am not an intelligent person, but am I wrong by saying that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard?
Well, it's dumb because you still have to account for the cap. So whatever these guys are saying, it's still going to cost you $34.6 million on the cap, whether you get rid of him or not.
Yes. You're right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Who cares what Mike Tannenbaum says? He's a failed GM.
I understand.
I don't care what anybody says, except what we deal with here is the reality of it. You probably cannot get rid of Wentz and take that kind of a bite. So the only solution left is to try to get value for Hurts and buy a new staff. Exactly. You're stuck with this quarterback that you made the franchise quarterback. This staff can't reach him. Change it up. You won 4 games this year with this team.
Well, the first of all, the only thing I saw anything Roseman did that was somewhat successful was the Super Bowl year, and he had Joe Douglas as his right-hand man. I mean, we need good football people to come in.
Yeah, I don't even know if Joe Douglas is a good football man. He hasn't done anything
really?
With the GM. What has he done in New York?
No, you're right there.
Oh, these guys are like, they're a dime a dozen. You got to get a guy that has a little bit of savvy. You know how like the Phillies did this research and they hired Dombrowski to get a track record? Hey, you got to find somebody like that. But that's down the road. I take one step at a time. They have to come to the conclusion that this is done now. It's done. This is a pathetic season where they won four games, and I know they were hurt. And he kept going on about the pandemic and not having a camp. Oh, everybody did that. Are there some good teams out there? There's a ton of double-digit win teams out there that were affected by the same thing. Let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, what's up?
Hey, guys. Another pitiful performance. But I don't know. Is it Groundhog Day or not? I mean, we've had the same conversation, it seems, just about every week when it comes to Doug's play calling. You know, he can't stand the success. It's like he doesn't want to admit that he can be successful running the ball because he has success and he doesn't realize it. You know, I'm tired of hearing the commentators, and you know, they're not all experts, but you know, at least they seem to know the game somewhat. Every week they're saying, why don't they run the ball? Why don't they run the ball? And he, I
tell you, he's not a thinker on his feet. I mean, it's really simple as that. He can't think on his feet.
No, well, I mean, I don't know. I can't figure out why he can't learn from week to week. I mean, even if he's sitting down.
He's not a smart man. That's why he can't learn.
He that's obvious, I guess. I mean, he's done the same thing every week. I mean, I think you got to blame Lurie to some degree because, you know, Howie's not a football guy, really.
I'll blame Lurie right now. This is what I'm blaming Lurie if he doesn't make a change. This is where I'll blame him because it's evident to everybody, and it should be evident to him when he watches this team. They're done with this regime. This regime has not succeeded. Excited the Super Bowl. All right, I can't take that away. And it's like annoying me the hell out of me how they even won that with this regime.
If he has respect for the fans, you know, he'll clean house. But, you know, I don't know what's going on in his head. He seems like he's been kind of oblivious all season.
If he doesn't change this up, do you know the angst that will lay thick on this team every game next year? Do you realize if they look bad, the heat that's going to be on Jeffrey Lurie? Why'd you keep this guy? And it's going to start from game one. If they don't win game one next year, and they're not going to be good next year. Abdul, Philly, North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Abdul.
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Abdul?
Listen, I was just surprised you got one comment, man. What's the bus that I want to talk about, but I'll just leave it at this. Doug Peterson is not a good coach. He did not make one single adjustment in that game. Scored two touchdowns in the first half. It looked good, and that was it. Nothing after that. He got to go. He's in a way. He's not a good coach. We got to make a change. Hate that. Like, we can't wait. All that waiting. Give him a heads up. Let him go out there and give it to him now.
What's going on? What's going on in the neighborhood there? What's happening?
Oh, you know,
oh my God. This is like a real-time call. What's happening? Describe the scene.
That's an ambulance going by.
Okay. It's an ambulance. All right.
We got to get rid of Doug, man. He in the way, man. Like, he's not. I can't believe it looked good. It started off good. He's running the ball. He's doing everything we got to do, and then he does this. He makes not one adjustment to what they was doing against them on defense. You know what I mean? And it's sad, man.
Yes.
He's not a game time adjustment.
It's clear. Look at just on fourth down. He looked like a guy knew what he was doing. Seriously, that's not what he's doing. He tried that. That's that lame ass. Let's try to draw him off sides at the 50. Like, what? Come on now with that.
The other thing, he did that with only like 5 seconds left on the play clock.
Yeah.
So they didn't even have time to really do a hard count. He just got to the locker room.
Right. They didn't get a delay game on it. And like, it's ridiculous.
It's so bad. And the other part, if he's a good head coach, after Jaquette gives up, let's say, 100 yards instead of 180 yards, do you ever go to your defensive coordinator and say, one, take him out. Two, how about a little safety help over the top?
Mm-hmm.
Something. Instead, he just lets him do whatever he wants on that defensive side. So he's really, a good head coach to me at least has the conversation with the defensive coordinator about, hey, man, I'm not telling you how to do it, but can you get this guy some help? Can you take him out? Instead, he lets him come out. They switch him to the other side. They immediately go to Cooper, and he gives up another big chunk play as if the Dallas wasn't going to recognize the guy that was standing on the left is now standing on the damn right. Yeah. Like, and you just let that happen as a head coach? I just don't know what he's doing during the game other than calling plays.
He lost complete control of the game. The first series, and I tweeted, wow, a hot knife through butter the way they ran the ball through here. You know, Miles Sanders looked like he had some energy.
I thought they were going to score 50 on that defense.
Hurts with a nice scramble. Then they get the zone read touchdown. They held the defense. Dallas should have scored on that drive. They held to a field goal. Like, look at this. And then they go up 14-3 on the bomb. And then you lost control of the game. At that moment, I know Fletcher Cox was out. I get it. But you lost control of the game offensively right there.
Nothing they do is sustainable. And that's the thing. It's like they came out with that hot start, 81 yards to DeSean Jackson. It's like, why not go back to that if you see that that's what's going to work? It's the same thing.
None of this play calling leads to another play. What I thought was going to happen was he went to the right side to catch that 81-yarder, got wide open. How about a play where you run the same play, only the action is you fake it like you're going right, but Rager's over the top left or something where, hey, you think we're about to run that play again. No, no, here's a wrinkle off of it. It never seems like play one and then play two leads to play three. Like, you got a bunch of stuff going, and it seems like he just calls plays in a bubble each time. It's not anything, okay, they're paying attention to these tendencies. Let's do something to counter it. He doesn't seem to do that.
He just doesn't.
Year.
He... like, stick to what was working. But you had him freaked out. Me and Sean Lee on the sidelines talking to his defense. They couldn't stop the zone read. They couldn't stop it.
And I know that it took a while for the game to get out of hand. First quarter, Sanders gets 8 carries. He gets 7 the rest of the game. And the game did not get out of hand until pretty late in the fourth quarter. There was no reason to stop running the football at any point during that time.
They weren't even, it was 20-17 at halftime. The same MO applies. But run your offense to what worked. See, it's 2017.
All right. I just can't. Let's go to Doc and Mizpah. Doc, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Doc.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, buddy?
There's nothing left to say. You guys just covered it beautifully. I'm just dumbfounded that, like if I'm Jeff Lurie, I got to call both Howie and Doug in and say, look, Doug, you're doing the same damn mistakes every week. The same thing's happening. You're saying I got to clean it up, and it never gets cleaned up. So you're out of here. Howie, You just put set fire to $100 million of my money by signing Wentz way before you had to, and then he goes to pot. Why don't you just wait a little bit? So you're out of here. I got to get somebody in here.
Lori had to approve that deal. So, Lori really can't blame a guy for signing up to that big contract when he's the one providing the money for it.
Yeah, he's got that out there, I guess, but... Howie hasn't done anything else to improve the team.
No, look at it. Just look at the team. Tell me where he went through the field and found a guy. Well, where? He hasn't found anybody.
Jordan Mailata.
All right, I'll give him Mailata. they found Pryor too, so that cancels it out. All right, man. I'm just trying to be fair here. I'm trying to judge what this regime has done to improve this team. The coach can't think on his feet. The general manager didn't provide anything. Then it's time to change it.
Well, and not only that, now what? They're speculating that they're going to get the third overall pick in the draft? Like, that's going to go well.
Well, good. I mean, they should get a good player, but it's too late.
Can't even trust him to do that.
I'll trust him to do that, but that's not enough to keep his job.
I don't trust him, so no. I want another guy making that pick. It could be Dorsey, who's apparently now they came.
I can make that damn pick.
Well, you could, I don't know if Howie can.
All right. Well, listen, if I can do it, Howie probably can. But he shouldn't be able. He shouldn't be allowed to. There's enough information that shouldn't even be a question on what they should do next year. They need to flush.
Well, you know, I just feel bad for them because they had they were carrying a human shield the last couple weeks. And unfortunately, they can't use it now.
Well, yeah, so the people.
Naked at the
I know.
Podium.
Listen, we were going to get to that in a second, including our good buddy, Brian Westbrook, who, I'll just go through. Yeah, Brian and I text a lot during the game. And so he was feeling himself early in the game, Ty, as you know.
Yeah.
Early on, I got the timeline here for this. I'll trace the timeline. And, here it is, 4:31.
Mm-hmm. So early.
4:31.
Mm-hmm.
What do Wentz people say when they see throws like that? And that was the throw to Deshaun. It was a good throw. He's wide open.
Yeah, I mean, and also he says Wentz people. How about just Eagles fans that are watching trying to evaluate the quarterback?
Right, so I'm trying to be fair. I go, good throw.
Good throw.
Deshaun wide open there.
He also was wide
open. And he comes back with good read of the safeties. He's all about Jalen. And I go, all right, that's fine. You're all about Jalen. I hope he looks like, you know, he's off to a good start. But then, you know, what happens is that he tails off and he lost the magic. And the magic is on the backup goaltender theory, which I've been trying to tell people, works temporarily.
Right.
Magic works temporarily. And then, you know, the chickens come home to roost. So to speak.
And I think people put too much on Hurts. When they came in and people have written and said, oh, he makes the whole team better. Even look at the defense. And they ignored last week that they gave up 31 points because they got the turnovers. You follow up this week by giving up 37.
Yeah.
So, if the defense is so spirited magically, why are they giving up 68 points in 2 weeks if they're so magically, they put too much on him as a rookie that he was just going to be a savior, and they really bought it. And that's what bothered me was they bought it that he was just a savior that was going to lead as a rookie.
You know how fans are. They
I'm not talking about fans.
You talk about
the fans, I understand. I'm talking about the media members who wrote
media members.
And put it in papers and put it in TV and talked about it. And
media members are pretty much fans. With a little bit of a pedigree.
But you got to know that you got to take a little bit more time.
No, I get
giving
it.
Giving up all them points doesn't mean that they're more spirited.
You're right. And it did give them energy. Temporarily, because that's how it works usually. Now, I'm not saying Jalen Hurts can't be a starter in this league, but I didn't think he was going to, like overwhelm people. And at the end of the day, you're not going to have enough information to say, yeah, we got to go forward with that dude. I don't think that. I think people stopped in their tracks when it comes to that. You might still think he's a good player. Maybe you think he's the better option. I'm saying that even if he is the better option, you don't have enough to make that decision to offset the fact that you're hamstrung financially with Wentz. So if that's the case, then I go, am I going to find another Jalen Hurts? Yeah, I'll find another Jalen Hurts. I will. You know, so if I got any value-added guy, I do that. I got to bring Wentz back. I got to do that with a new staff. To me, it's a clear vision. And if Jeffrey would like to consult with me, I'm always available. I don't do anything at night. I live in the neighborhood, too.
There you go.
Give me a call.
He can call you up. I'll
come over.
And I know he probably thinks that you're holding out for the Phillies, but that's not true. Doug made the call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to be his GM. I want to be the Phillies GM. I don't want to be his GM. I'll just give him a little advice over
a consultant.
Over a sip.
Like Dorsey right now apparently is an advisor in the Eagles front office. And I just hope that they bring someone else in that can help him make these type of tough decisions. Because there's no way he was happy with what he saw last
night. I don't even think it's a tough decision for him. The only way it could be a tough decision, if he's got some kind of tribal loyalty here, And he's friends with Howie.
Well, he is.
All right. Well, guess what? Sometimes you got to go. You got to turn the other cheek. I love you as a person.
And
I love Joe Banner as a person. But because at a point in time where I had to turn the page,
right? And all the reports are saying that he's going to have to take the emotion out of it. Well, yeah. Like we're done here. Is it the emotion of the city or is it your emotion, Jeffrey? Because we don't care.
Yeah.
I know. I don't care.
I don't care.
I know, I don't care.
I don't care about your feelings. Oh, what about my feelings?
Oh, he lets you in the draft room all cute and lets you make a couple of picks.
Oh, adorable.
Yeah, those players can't play, man. That old thing of Whiteside didn't dress. And they were down players yesterday. They couldn't dress six wide.
It's simple.
He didn't dress.
I go, Jeff, hey, listen, let's just take the game. Your man's not, he has no idea what he's doing. He didn't even know it was fourth down territory there. And because if he did, he would have planned on it. He didn't plan on it. Every fourth down that came up. Look at the first series. You saw the first series, right? Well, look at that. I mean, it was successful to the point where you had that Dallas team, which is a bad defensive team. They didn't know what to do with you. And your coach let him off the hook. And not only that, but look how undisciplined you were yesterday. False starts. Come on. Week 16. Holmes. Yeah, pour me some more scotch. So we'll go down, just like gentlemen.
I like it.
I like it.
I think it'll work.
All right. Let's go to break. We'll come back with your phone call. 610-622-0975 is how you get in. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it's 2:45. Hope everybody had a nice Christmas. I mean, it's all this consternation is to blurring the line between the happy times that we just spent with family, right? On holiday season. Every Christmas good for you guys?
Yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah,
fantastic.
Awesome.
Low key, but good.
Yeah.
You get together with fam members?
Not many, but a few. I was glad it was warm in the daytime because we had a breakfast together.
That's nice. The breakfast. It's not the Christmas breakfast?
Yeah. Christmas breakfast. So that way everything was open and ventilation because everybody's trying to be extra careful with my dad especially and then everybody like that. So, yeah, but it was nice.
Yeah, usually I didn't go to this Christmas Eve, Miss Ellie's the thing that we usually have. With the fishes. Mm-hmm. It was my sister still had it, but I didn't go.
Yeah.
But she has a smaller crowd, so I didn't.
Yeah.
I think five was too much for me.
I didn't mind it being smaller this year.
Yeah.
Like celebrating with, just a couple people. It was kind of nice.
Yeah, I just went over her house for brunch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the next day.
Oh, that's
Christmas
good.
Morning.
Yeah.
So that was about all I did.
Was there any fish left over for you?
I don't eat the fish.
Oh, that's right.
So she did have a lot left. She makes she's like 100 times better cook than I am. Like
really?
She's like way gourmet. Like I'm more of a traditional guy, and she goes off on tangents.
Okay.
So she's like, everything's homemade for her. It's not like the Italian thing. Like she goes all over the place.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
What else she have?
It's hard to see. Like everything that she makes is like with a homemade touch. So whether it's a rice ball or whether it's just a like a soup and a pâché, she's like all over, and she like bakes. I'm not a baker. She's got thousands of cookies that she bakes.
Sounds
she's amazing.
Great.
All right, let's go to Jay in Roxborough. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
How you doing, man?
All right, and listen, I want you to you talked about being fair earlier, so I want to have open minded. Conversation with you.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to give you two names. Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton haven't won a Super Bowl in over 10 years. Should they have been fired a long time ago?
They're both successful franchises every year that are Super Bowl contenders. So we're talking about a 4-win team here.
No. Okay. We're talking about a 4-win team this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's my point. Those three guys, including Doug, they've all done the same thing. They've all had one Super Bowl. And those guys is, you know, they've always picked in the middle because their teams have always been good. We've always been pretty in that middle of the pack also in terms of picking talent. So when people go crazy about all of these picks that we should have had.
They have regressed over the last 3 years since the Super Bowl. What exactly do you like about the head coach and GM, the way they've shaped this team?
Well, the one thing I like about Doug is that he allows his team to develop the way that they're going to naturally develop. He's not making
What does that even mean? What do you mean? Well, he lets them develop the way they naturally develop.
What I mean by that is that he looks at Carson Wentz's talent and he tries to make a game plan surrounding that talent. When Carson Wentz isn't playing well, he had to take him out. You know, so he had to design.
When did he design this year for Carson Wentz? He didn't roll him out of the pocket, but once in 42 snaps.
Yeah, but you're talking about a but you
he did the opposite with Carson Wentz this year.
Exactly. He left him in there. Why? Because over the last.
But he didn't call accommodating plays for his skill set.
Well, listen, Mike. What you going to get today when you with you and your callers is a bunch of knee jerk reactions because the game just happened.
Knee jerk? They won 4 games. What's knee jerk?
Okay, but guess what? The rest of our division won one more than us.
I don't care about the rest of the division. That's even more that they should have won this division. The fact that the division stinks.
I get what you do. You just
No. I want to ask you straight, Doug. JJ, you're flabbergasting me here. You are actually supporting this head coach right now. For what reason?
Because I believe that from Lori's perspective, you just watched this guy help you win a Super Bowl with the same type of coaching that helped us win a Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, 3 years later, something's wrong with him that quick?
3 years of declining doesn't indicate anything to you that this coach may be inadequate now? That he had his moment in the sun?
Mike, you and your callers always talk about...
Oh, Jay, they're not bepping me and my callers. It's about what I see. What do you see? What do you see right now that you would make a call and go, he does this. He doesn't know anything. They've declined for the last 3 years. Do we have that question from Jeff McClain that addressed it and what he had to say about it? I'm stunned that you could go that far right now. That you could say that he's done a good job. All right, let's hear the question. This is Jeff McClain's question, and I want you to notice a little something here, because Doug at least took a shot back here in a very kind of like hidden form, but he did take a shot. Listen.
Doug, you spoke about your confidence in yourself and what you've accomplished these last 5 seasons, but how do you explain the 3-year regression that we've seen with the Eagles under your stewardship, the last 2 in... 2 of the worst divisions historically the NFL has ever seen.
Hey, appreciate the confidence, John. Or Jeff, sorry.
He called him John!
On purpose.
Of course it was on purpose.
It's on his screen. You can see who
appreciate the confidence. Now, it's a pretty aggressive question, all right? And
yeah.
Jeff McClain, you can tell that there is this thing that I don't think either guy likes each other, so you have to put that in perspective. But it's not inaccurate what the question was. They have declined.
Right. They absolutely have. Now, I put on the screen
for
you.
Yeah, I saw you, Tomlin.
The win totals.
Here's Tomlin.
Since he wants to compare to Doug.
Right. Tomlin, you can fire. Here it is. He averages double-digit wins, first of all. So it's a 10-12 at the Super Bowl. 9-12-12. 8-8. All right, that's 8-8. That's not 4.
Roethlisberger hurt in parts of both of those seasons.
Okay, so 8-8,
11-10-11-13. Right.
9-8-12. Yeah? Seriously? This is a 4-win team in a bad division.
If the Eagles had won 8 this year, they'd already had the division clinched. And people would say, hey, despite Howie's roster, Doug did a good job. Because this is probably, with the magic dust, at best, an 8-win team. If Doug managed 8 with this roster, we would say Doug is a really good coach because we're smart enough to pay attention to what's going on. He didn't. He took a bad roster and made them either equal or worse. He didn't make the roster better. He made the roster as either equal or worse.
And in this stink division, he lost to the Giants. He lost to the Cowboys. He lost to the Washington football team.
Yep. They beat one starting quarterback this season, by the way. The defense as well. They beat one starter this season.
Yeah, that's another thing. Because they beat, let's look at who they beat. All right, so they beat, oh, crap.
49ers had a backup.
49ers, yeah, that mutt, what's his name? Nick Mullins.
Yeah, Mullins they beat.
Nick Mullins they beat. And then who else did they beat?
They beat the Giants, they beat the actual starter in the comeback victory. Where
they beat Daniel Jones?
That was the only starter they actually beat.
They beat the Italian kid.
Yeah, DiNucci.
DiNucci. And then they beat
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill. That's stiff.
Yeah, they didn't beat it. So they beat one starting quarterback entire year.
Come on, seriously. You got enough information. 3 o'clock hours ahead. We'll go around the NFL 3:30. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
7-5, The Fanatic.
3 o'clock, Mike Missinelli Show, Football Monday. Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock. I'm wondering if anybody saw the game yesterday and now has calmed down a little bit on Jalen Hurts. I haven't heard anybody say that in the first hour. But 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Did you see this golf thing that was on NBC yesterday and Saturday?
No.
I saw a little bit of it.
You saw a little bit of it? It apparently, I didn't know that this was done before. Like, it was done, this thing was done in September. It amounted to a four-hour commercial for this resort where Tiger designed his first course.
Oh, is that what it was?
I was unbelievable. Listen, I got hooked because I looked at the thing and I go, I got to go to this place. But it was a 4 hour. The guy who owns it, it's called Big Lodge, I think. Big Lodge, Big Cedar Lodge. And it's owned by the dude that started Bass Pro Shops. He's from, it's in Branson, Missouri.
Okay.
Right? So he's from that area. And he dug out mountains, and it's in the Ozark Mountains. This thing is like, you can't imagine how spectacular it is. It was Tiger's first design course. So because of that, he got a four-hour commercial out of it.
A four-hour commercial?
Ran it in September. Apparently this happened in September.
Well, because when I flipped it on, I was like, what is this?
Yeah, because it wouldn't be conducive to the weather. So apparently this was on TV, and I missed it. And so it's September 22nd. And they just ran it. But they ran it on primetime NBC.
Yeah.
From Saturday from 4 to 6 and Sunday from 4 to 6.
Wow. Yeah, it was wild. I was just confused. And then I actually Googled it because I'm like, where could they possibly be playing?
It was spectacular.
Playing?
But it was like the announcer. You go, oh, you got to come to Big Cedar Lodge. It's a great place. 4 hour commercial on national TV for the place.
Must be nice.
Well, only Tiger can pull that off.
That's pretty good.
It was a match of four dudes. It was Tiger, Justin Thomas, Rory, and Justin Rose. And it was for charity, but they had like six holes were batter ball, six holes were alternate shot, and then the six holes were head to head.
Got it.
So like they had a little Europe versus Europe. I mean, it was fun. I love to watch stuff like that. But the thing about the commercial for this thing, this resort, I swear to God, because I actually emailed them.
Oh, you think about
I emailed them, right? I go, give me an idea, because I want to know what the pricing would be to go with like three other buddies and go. I've never been to Branson, Missouri. And I hear it's like a cool area, like Branson has been built up to be this cool area.
Yeah, people say that, but I don't know.
So I go, this would be Missouri. Like an interesting, like beyond your Florida trip or your, your North Carolina thing. Like, to go, I've never been there. Let's see how cool that would be. I wonder how expensive this is. So I get online and I email. I go, I'm looking to do this, blah, blah, blah. I got a phone call at 7 o'clock.
Really?
Oh, wow.
From the resort.
Oh, they want to book you.
They might be low right now because of COVID.
Well, they must have had a zillion calls because of this commercial this weekend. Because people seeing it.
Is it a lot of money?
How much is it?
Yeah, it's not cheap.
I didn't think it would be.
It's not cheap. But you know, accommodations.
Like
splurge
or like...
You play three courses. There's five courses there. Tigers happens to be the major one. But Gary Player designed something. Nicholas designed something. It's one of those deals.
Oh.
Right? But the Tiger course is his first course he designed. And he made them like all wide fairways.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so it's like it's extremely playable for an average person. But then there's this island green, and like they had to move rock and blast mountains and put in artificial lakes. This guy must have spent $50 million to develop this Bass Pro Shop dude.
Well, he's making it up.
I guess he is.
He's making it up.
I've never seen a four-hour commercial with regular announcers on a national TV. It was mind-boggling to me. But, hey, God bless you, Tiger. All right, let's go back to the phones. Sean in Collegeville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, guys. What's up, Sean?
How you doing?
Good. I want to first say something because, like you just said, about people dropping off with Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is Carson's team, so he should definitely start next year. But if you put, you know, obviously Doug, Howie and Jim are all on the hot seat. If you were to get rid of all three, would that be messing up things too much for Carson? You know, and who do you think?
Well, how would it mess up Carson? He's obviously not productive with Doug Peterson as his head coach.
No,
he'd feel a lot better with Jalen Hurts not around. So, like, how's it going to mess him up?
I think he's number one that has to go to Doug, definitely. And I was wondering, you know, potential people to replace him. And maybe like Eric Bieniemy or something like that. I know they say the interviews didn't go too well when he was interviewing last year. But someone like that, like a known play caller.
Whether it's him or not, whoever it is, you put in due diligence and you find a guy. There's always a guy you can find. Like, he's not the last coach on earth, Doug Peterson. I'll find another guy, whether it's Bieniemy or somebody else. The important part is you need a change, right?
Yeah, and I think it's definitely still Carson's team. I mean, it has to, you know, if it, you know, goes like this next year and he plays horrible and he's not like he used to be, then that's different. But, you know, it's for this team to keep going, you know, and not crumble. We need him to have a good year next year, and definitely need a good coach to bring them back to, you know.
Well, since they can't do anything with it, I have half logic in it because I know I can't trade them. I can't absorb a hit like that with a salary cap that's going to be lower, and I can't do that. So, I mean, my only alternative is I got to rehab the guy. I can't rehab him with Doug Peterson. Sorry.
No, definitely not.
All right, man. All right, I got you. I'll cross the other bridge when I get to it. It's like right now you see what this team is, and it needs to have fresh water come through. It just does, in my opinion. So let's get Mac and Harrisburg in here. Mac, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
What's up, Mac?
Yeah, I watched the Eagles game yesterday, and then last night I watched the Sunday night game.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be there is no accountability on the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the other team last night, and they seem to have a lot of accountability. A guy ain't in the right place, the quarterback lets him right off the bat. Yet the Eagles just seem to be complacent. If the guy, you don't do this, or if he's offsides, we'll straighten out by the end of the game. And there ain't no way to play football.
Listen, I know it's hard to coach with moving parts, and that's part of these penalties. But it's ridiculous. Five false starts. I mean, come on, that should never happen. Six.
Mike, they started off at fourth and three. By the time they get done, they were 4-50.
Yeah, I got the drive right in front of me.
What kind of clown show is
they got the ball at the Dallas 28 after the Slay interception, which should have been a game changer.
Exactly.
And they had no discipline to move the ball forward.
And they want people like you and me to buy tickets. Well, not so they straighten it out.
Yeah, I hear you, bro. So you're out. You're not buying tickets, Mac. That's a road trip for you in Harrisburg, too. You got to be very selective.
I go to a game down there.
Do you?
But if you ain't going to have a good team, why sit there and go through the nonsense?
No, I hear you. They don't have a problem selling tickets, though. That's not their problem.
Yeah,
I think the owner has to take inventory that even though he's going to sell all his tickets, he still needs to change because it's embarrassing to have a team win four games.
Needs to clean house and start with Doug and Howie Roseman, get somebody who knows what they're doing.
I hear you. Look, Mac coming strong from Harrisburg.
He's right, though. He's not going to drive here to watch a team that stinks.
That's
stinks out loud.
I will say, I already have been air on going to NFL games as it is because of the weather and the traffic and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I'm not going until they tighten it up. Mm-hmm. I'm not going. I'll watch because I have to as a job, but I'm not going to go. I need to go down there and sit in the cold because I know next year if they bring back the same crew, I know it's going to be bad. They're going to be capped
out.
Even
if they bring back the same crew, there's plenty of people that are going to go.
Other people will go, but I'm saying...
So they got to have a deterrent to the owner. The owner doesn't have to sit back and go, oh my God, I'm losing my fan base. I'm losing my gate. Now, he doesn't have to worry about that. So he's got to go even further to look into his soul.
Well, he's incapable of doing that, but I'm just saying I got to make a stand. Just like I did with the Phillies until they hired Dombrowski, now I feel better.
Now you're back in.
Well, they did a real move. If they just went with interim, I'd interim my money to the following year. But since after the All-Star break, and I think there'll be people allowed to come in because we should have the vaccine by then, I'll go back. If the Eagles do the right thing and hire a pedigree GM and a pedigree coach or a new just something different, then I would hypothetically go sit in the cold. But I'm not sitting in the cold for some Howie and Doug ever again.
You know what's funny? How come in baseball there's always these assistant dudes that are available? Like, you get hired. That guy's an assistant to this guy. And it's a good organization. And they're plentiful, right? They're always plentiful.
It depends on how you look at it.
Right. Now, why if not in football?
Now, the Browns, technically, the Eagles had that guy because Barry has done a good job with the Browns. And I know that was a bad loss yesterday, but they also didn't have wide receivers because of COVID. They're going to go from being the Browns to winning 10 games.
So you want to bring Barry back since he was the Eagle pedigree
guy? I don't know if you can, but the point is the Browns looked at the Eagles organization and said, I notice Howie Dew's not making, can't do anything.
Yeah.
And then Barry comes in and instantly they go from being the Browns to 10 games. And the loss to the Jets was bad, but they also didn't have wide receivers again because
they didn't have four of them
because of COVID.
Yeah,
so he didn't even. I was watching some of that game. He was looking left, right, no, okay, tight end because the receivers, he had no receivers. So, but they're still. So I think that they're out there. We're just maybe not. They don't get the pub because the NFL also is funny about giving people pub.
Yeah, I guess. Listen, there's always another guy. That's what my philosophy is. There's always another guy. Oh, yeah. If you fire Brett, who are you going to get? Well, there's always another guy.
You got Doc Rivers.
Exactly.
How about that?
Let's go Jim in Swarthmore. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Happy New Year, folks.
What's up, Jim?
Well, I'm kind of what you would call, I guess, an infrequent caller. Mm-hmm. But I'm really amazed at the number of people in Philadelphia that are surprised about Doug Peterson.
Surprised?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm surprised because I called you the day that he was hired, and we had a conversation, and I remember at the press conference, the last game he coached, supposedly, with Kansas City was against New England. And they were inside the 10, and he was asked by one of the reporters when he was introduced as a coach to the Eagles, why did it take so long? Why did you waste so much time, in that game at the end? And his answer was
They didn't want to give the ball back to Brady.
And
I remember that. However, your argument doesn't hold water because they want a Super Bowl.
Hold on a second. And the answer, the guy said, he reminded him they were two scores down.
Yeah, I know. It was a stupid answer, but he won the Super Bowl. So you can't go back then and say it was bad. They did win the Super Bowl. We got to talk about what now. People tarnish.
You don't know what role Frank Wright and the quarterback coach played.
Oh, it doesn't matter. He was the head coach of the team who won the Super Bowl. You can't say it was the wrong move. They won a Super Bowl with it.
In spite of him, maybe?
Well, you know, you have a theory. You know, that could be a theory, but the fact is you can't use the argument that you knew it from the jump because he said stupid answer.
All I'm saying is, if you, why would you, my question is this, why would you, forget the Super Bowl for the moment, why would you hire somebody who for that position, who would answer that question?
No, I get it. You're focusing too much on the answer to the question because they won a Super Bowl. So I hear what your argument is. So you would have never hired Doug Peterson. Maybe you would have never won a Super Bowl. So you can't have it both ways there. What you can have it is the now, the here and the now. And the here and the now is it doesn't work anymore. Whatever he did is nice. It doesn't work because you see a declining franchise. And this year was a complete, utter mess where you can see that the guy just wasn't a thinker. So, you know.
Well, and you know what's funny, Mike? I think about, now that we're bringing up, you know, baseball and finding all those guys, I think about, and I tell the fan base this too, in 2008, the Phillies won the World Series. Then it was the steady decline after that, hop, skip. Here we are 12 years later, nothing. So it's like, you can't hold on to those memories to justify what's happening right now if you want to win. And I think that the fan base has a problem letting go of that.
I think the majority of people don't. I think that we had one caller today. I think the majority of people look at this situation and are resigned to the fact that there has to be change. That you can't just write this year off. Because when you go inside this year, you'll see a lot of coaching and general manager incompetence. You just will. And you just can't ignore that. This is 4 wins. This is not 8 or 9. Let's go to Chosen in Southwest Philly. What's up, Chosen?
Mike, you missed. What's going on?
What's happening, bud?
How you doing, Tyrone, Natalie? Listen, we got a clean house, man. We got a clean house, point blank. Like, Doug got to go. The defensive coordinator, Schwartz, got to go. And Howie got to go. I mean, we are a smart fan base. We can see with our own eyes what is going on. How do you leave that cornerback in there that long, knowing he getting trashed. With Doug, he been doing it the last 3-4 seasons as far as just bad play calling. You know what I mean? And it pissed me off because you know what the reality is? The Super Bowl was a fluke, Mike.
Well, whatever it was still a Super Bowl. And whether Doug Peterson masterminded or whether he didn't doesn't really matter at this point. I just look at what is now.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't know. It's just that how fast the decline goes. Like, you know what I mean? And then, you know, I already felt lied to because I was down there when I heard him say, oh, this is the new norm. No, this ain't no new norm. It's the same norm it was before we won the Super Bowl. We back where we was at.
Yeah, so sometimes when you make statements like that, they can come back and trap you. I know that you're just in the moment of like a pep rally and you say stuff like that, but then it can really come and, you know, tie your ankles.
Exactly. And then, you know, where do we go from here? You're saying in the now, okay? Mm-hmm. Give me a suggestion of a coach that you, maybe a coach that you would like, or a new GM that you may have in mind.
I really don't have anybody in mind. That's not my job. My job is to say this is not working. So whoever they hire, they have experts that are doing the research, and they do a lot more research than me. So they have to do the due diligence and the study and the tracking and all that. And they find somebody, then I evaluate. It's a great position for me because I can't be wrong.
Right. Well, yeah. I'll leave that question to either Natalie or Tyrone or, you know, as a fan or whatever.
Have you guys done your study? You've been studying?
Yeah, I want Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy wants his coach. From the Chiefs. Then you got a GM.
Well, I'll go with John Dorsey as GM.
John Dorsey.
Who's currently working with the team and knows the work. He's a good GM.
Yeah.
There it is. And see, I'm with that. I think he would be a good new coach to come here. Maybe Andy can give him a voucher like, all right, Philadelphia was all right. But then again, I don't know about Jeffrey Lurie because you know Howie is his boy. Howie, that's his boy.
Yeah, well, that's what I say. Like that's what a man has to look in himself and say, I'm close to this guy, but it's just, you know, it's been several years now, and he hasn't done what I thought he should be doing. And from that standpoint, you're businessman first, right? It's your entity.
Well, that, and I have to think at this point, the decisions that Howie has made, there has to be some mistrust in the locker room. Do you think all those players trust him?
No, it's another thing the owner has to take consideration of. You know,
yeah.
The owner's the one going to practice leaving, disgruntled. The owner's the thing go to Cleveland. Like it's not new. It's not a new concept for him. So he's got to look at his heart and go, okay, Joe Banner. If Joe calls me, I go, hello, how you doing? And if Howie will do, you know, it's not personal.
Yeah.
The Wentz thing has to fall on him, too, because he paid him. Owner signed off on it. He paid him. And then if Wentz is done here, if he is done, like a lot of people think, well, you have to work yourself out of that somehow. Do you want this guy, the guy who caused the problem, does he have the ability to get out of it? Because something messed Wentz up. Either you shouldn't have paid him because he's a space cadet, or you did enough to undermine him that you broke his brain and you got a bad look. Whatever you have to, I don't know if you're equipped to fix a problem that you caused because it happened under Howie's watch.
Yeah.
This whole win thing where you paid him, then you undermine him, then his game falls apart, and then Hurts comes in and plays okay, plays decent, but not the savior.
Well, and then those reports that he didn't listen to the scouts about the draft. So he's not even listening to the actual football people and basing his decisions on that. It's just whatever Howie wants to do. We're all just victims of it.
Because you know Howie. You're a football guy. You know who they should draft. Thanks.
Not Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. And the new norm thing reminds me of the LeBron thing, where he went not one, not two, not three, and got pounded, right, in the end by that. And Doug, the same thing. Doug thought he was playing to the crowd, and, you know, it clips you after
a while. The good thing, though, the difference was LeBron won some.
He did.
He did.
He didn't win that one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, not six, not seven. You didn't do that, because all that did was give people, you know, bird seed
But you needed to win one, because once he won one, you say you can get mad later. If they had won one more Super Bowl, all right, Doug, it's okay.
Exactly.
One more.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and on the other side, we're going to go around the NFL, see what piqued my interest, the weekend of football and the playoff ramifications and all that. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The music indicates that it's Monday. And it's time for Around the NFL for today. Brought to us by Farron Electric from Recess Lighting and Chandelier or Fixture Installation, the Home Automation and Landscape Lighting. Farron Electric can give your home an upgrade inside and out. Schedule a consultation at FarronElectric.com. These are the five things that I picked up on the Sunday football day. Let's start with number five, right? The Eagles took the field yesterday knowing they would have a chance to make the playoffs since the Washington Football Club was starting Dwayne Haskins. And the man didn't disappoint as Washington lost to Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers 20-14. Sorry, Ron Rivera, no revenge here. And actually, this game wasn't as close as the final score would indicate. Washington was down 20-3 early. Haskins was the pariah. First, he broke protocol earlier in the week. He was caught partying without a mask. He was fined. He got stripped of his captaincy for this COVID violation. And then he went out there and stunk as usual and had to be relieved by the Holland Beer Company, Taylor Heineke. But Washington set the tone for a loss with this play early in the game.
Punting to Stephen Sims, second year from Kansas. Sims loses the ball. He gets knocked back to the end zone and jumped on by Carolina. The Panthers get there and put points on the board.
Nothing worse than that. A touchdown that gets kicked into the end zone. Carolina recovers. Boom. Washington beats the Eagles next week. They actually win this crap division, and they're going to start Heineken beer. Give him a participation trophy. After the game, by the way, Haskins left the stadium, skipped his media session, was MIA when the Washington PR staff tried to get him by remote, and got cut today. All right. Number four, the Giants got smashed by the Ravens. Nobody cares. No highlights here. I didn't even want to bore you. Number three, I mean, the Chiefs can't lose if they try to lose, such was the case Sunday, as Kansas City outlasted the Atlanta Falcons 17-14. Now, the Falcons had a 14-10 lead with 4 minutes left in the game. Patrick Mahomes looked like he had thrown an interception in the end zone, but A.J. Terrell couldn't hold on to the football. And on the next play, Mahomes hit DeMarcus Robinson for the go-ahead touchdown. Now, Atlanta comes back down the field. They have a chance at a field goal to tie it. Youngway Koo.
And Koo is up, and he is no good! He sliced it!
Yeah, he pushed it right, and if I were Chris Berman doing this highlight, I would go, Koo-Koo-Ka-Choo, I am the Eggman! But I'm not. The real football play in this game happened earlier, though. Falcons linebacker Forsadi Alukun picked Mahomes at the goal line, and this...
Mahomes fired. Intercepted Aluakon at the goal line. Foye Aluakon still on his feet. Breaks a tackle. Aluakon's got blockers. And he's got speed to midfield. He fumbles the football. Hill knocked it away. And it's out of bounds.
All right. It's Foye Aluakon. I didn't pronounce it right. But he got chased down by Tyreek Hill. And they clocked Tyreek Hill going, get this, 20.33 miles per hour to come back and knock that ball out of his hands.
What?
Yes. But that wasn't as fast as DK Metcalf earlier in this year when he ran down that dude. All right, number two, the Steelers. They were reeling, having lost three straight, and they looked to be skunked Sunday also against the Colts. Indianapolis led the game 24-7 in the third quarter. How could they blow it? Ben Roethlisberger, hobbling as usual, somehow brings the Steelers back. It's now 24-20 in the fourth quarter, 7:38 left. Roethlisberger to step on the logo, man. There it is.
And stays in the gun. Shotgun snap. He pops, throws it down the middle of the field. That's Juju Smith-Schuster pulling it in for the Steelers' go-ahead touchdown. From 25 out, Ben threw a strike, and Juju took care of the rest. Julian Blackman, the free safety, says, where did he come from?
Yeah, he stomped on the end zone is what he did on that play. It's a great play, great throw. The Steelers clinched the AFC North, winning 28-24. The Colts may be out of it. So should we hop on the Steelers bandwagon since they're pride of Pennsylvania? You know?
Yeah.
We can't do that, can we?
No.
I will.
All right. Number one, Sam Darnold was playing the game Sunday for the Jets. And he may have been thinking, well, if I win, you know, they can't draft Trevor Lawrence and trade me. And then he thought harder about it. He said, wait a minute. If I lose, they would draft Trevor Lawrence and trade me. And that would be excellent because I get out of this rotten organization. But he won anyway. Yes, the Jets upset the Cleveland Browns 23-16. And to be fair, the Browns were playing with a short deck, missing four wide receivers. But Baker Mayfield was a turnover machine in this one. Fourth and one, the Browns needed to convert to push for a tying score on this drive, and this happened.
They need a yard. He keeps it. He drives, and he got pulled back inside the 15-yard line. Now, where's the spot?
During the fourth down play, a member of the offense, other than the fumbler, recovered the ball. The ball will be returned to the spot of the fumble, resulting in a change of possession.
Oh, the ball goes over. Mayfield fumbled the ball for the third time today, and the ball goes over to the Jets.
Yeah, see, that's no good. He fumbled the ball. It went forward. But only he can, in the last 2 minutes, recover that. Kareem Hunt actually recovered, but they can't give him that spot. And that's the ball game. So now the Browns have to beat the Steelers next week to get into the playoffs, which is possible because the Steelers already clinched the division, right? They can trot out Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, but they probably won't.
I probably won't. All right, Around the NFL is brought to us by Farron Electric. From recessed lighting and chandelier fixture installation to home automation and landscape lighting, Farron Electric can give your home an upgrade inside and out. Schedule a consultation at FarronElectric.com. All right, let's get back to the phones, and we'll talk to Tony and Glenside. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Tone?
Listen, this is how you fix this. I got a lot to say, so I'm going to get right to it. How you fix this? Howie not going nowhere. Doug not going nowhere. Point blank. We all know that. So this is how you fix it. We got 7 picks in an upcoming draft. You get rid of Carson. And I'm not saying get rid of Carson because he can't play. Get rid of Carson because he can't play because he can play now. He's better than Hurts. But in 3 years, he will be done. In 3 years, when we're ready to play. So you get rid of Carson, you get rid of Ertz, you get a couple picks for them, okay? And you say, Carson, you take his pick 2022, because what you want to do is you want to put some incentives in it and say, if you get to the playoffs, it becomes a first round pick. Okay? Now you go into this.
You're forgetting the cap hit.
I know that. Listen, all right. The cap hit, you're going to take the cap hit. Jeffries and Deshaun, you still go with them one more year. You don't want to take the cap hit on top of that. Listen.
Right.
You go with them one more year. You got Fulgham. You got your receivers already waiting for them because you know Deshaun and Jeffries going to give you 3 games anyway.
What receivers do you have that you can count on?
No. Listen.
Listen. I'm asking you a question. What receivers are you going to count on? What?
Listen, you're going to count on Jeffries and
Wait, are you kidding me? Listen, are you seriously going to tell me you're going to count on Jeffrey and Deshaun Jackson?
I'm not talking about this year. What you do is with this year's draft that's coming up, you build the defense. You build the defense. You're going to throw away this year, the next year. You build the defense from the middle. You go 2 linebackers, 2 safeties, and 1 defensive tackle to replace Cox.
And fans will be okay with you just, having a mutt year.
Listen, the offense.
Well, you keep saying, listen, I'm hearing you. I'm listening.
Still going to be good. You got Brooks coming back. You got Lane Johnson coming back. You got the offensive line coming back. You're still going to have serviceable receivers at no money.
How are they going to be good? How are they going to be good? You're telling me you're going to draft a bunch of rookies and they're going to improve the defense?
Yes.
Because stop it. When has that ever happened? When does that happen? You can get 3 or 4 guys that are going to help your defense.
This same rookie team went scored 20-something points this year with no offseason. If you go with Reagan,
let me ask you, what's the point of not firing Doug and Howie?
Because it's not going to happen. Nobody, even though you fired Doug, there's no one out there better right now.
What do you mean there's nobody out there better? There's always somebody out there better. Doug Peterson, the last coach on earth, too. When did he get that status? Oh, my God. Can't get rid of Doug. There's nobody out there.
Come on. Now, I do think, unfortunately, Deshaun and Alshon will both be back, though. But not to rely on. I don't know if they can afford to take the cap hit.
Yeah, they're going to have to take the cap hit on those dudes. They can't afford to take the cap hit.
I think that's $16 million.
Well, you're going to have to take that. You can't have those two guys be back in the plan. You know what's the oddest thing that happened yesterday? If I was this guy, I'd be getting razzed in the locker room. How in the hell does Alshon beat anybody down the field?
Yeah, that one play.
How does that happen? How does that quarterback let that happen?
Yeah, that was one of the plays where he didn't have to out-physical. He kind of outran him.
Time him with a sundial and he beats you down the field?
Yeah, that was his one catch. Somebody on Sound Off, I don't think it's going to make the cut, was trying to say, you should have designed the offense this week around Alshon. That was the problem.
Good Lord.
Because he was going to draw more passes. And he even mentioned, he was going to draw more pass interferences.
You got to be kidding me. Who was that guy that got beat? Jordan Lewis. I wrote it down. I go, how's he ever get back in the locker? That old man beat you down the field. Let's take a break. 610-620-975. It's a quick break. We'll be back with your calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:45, Mike Mussnelli Show. The Sundance Channel played a dirty trick on me this weekend. They were running the Godfather nonstop. Godfather 2 on a loop.
Yeah, that's nice.
Did you check it out?
Yeah, I saw one time.
Have you guys watched it?
I had to look in again.
How was it?
But I did a little study because I like to do the scene on, I was concentrating on doing the whole scene. I usually just do the Hyman Roth scene. So I want all of you to enjoy your cake. So enjoy.
Yes.
But I concentrated. I think I have the whole scene down.
Really?
Yes.
That's a tough scene.
It is a tough scene.
On the balcony.
I'm going to try to do it.
All right.
You all know Michael Corleone. We all remember his father. At the time of my retirement or death, I turned over all my interest in the Havana operation to his control, but all of you will share. The National will go to the Lakeville Road Boys, the Capri to the Corleone family, the Sevilla Biltmore also, but Eddie Levine of Newport will bring in the Pinino brothers, Dino and Eddie, for peace, and also to handle the actual casino operation. And we've saved the piece for some friends in Nevada to make sure that things go smooth back home. I want all of you to enjoy your cake. So, enjoy.
Oh, my God. That's a nice job. That's a nice job.
Oh, my God. You didn't even have anything in front of you. That was unscripted.
That's a nice job.
I rehearsed
it. Amazing.
The Pinino brothers, Dino and Eddie. Oh, God, that's a great scene.
That's a great scene. Like, that's part of the why. Two always is, I feel like two doesn't always get the love.
And Michael goes, you know, I saw an interesting thing happen today. A rebel was being arrested by the military police. And rather than be taken alive, he exploded a grenade that he had hidden in his jacket. He killed himself and took a captain of the command with him. What does that tell you? The soldiers are paid to fight. What's that tell you? Tells me they can win.
See, he didn't like that. He should have talked about that in private.
Michael. Yeah. Yeah, Hyman didn't like that.
Didn't like it. Should have talked about it in private. Yeah. And then how the trucks paid for by your father.
By your father. We were running molasses out of Havana.
There it is.
Made a fortune. Your father, too. Let's go to Daryl and Pazdell. Daryl. You're on 97.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Daryl?
I remember driving around Pottstown right after you interviewed Doug Peterson after he was hired, and you were leery about him back then. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but I can't go back to that and say I knew all along, because I didn't. He won a Super Bowl, and I was on board. You know, I missed something, and he's a good coach. But now I look at it and go, come on.
No, but see, sometimes when you're a champion, I don't think it was just a fluke, like a lot of people say it's a fluke. It's when you had all these ingredients, maybe it was with Frank Reich and DeFilippo and getting Blunt and Ajayi, all those little pieces hit at the right time. And then Howie was knighted this genius. He's no genius. They think that they're smarter than us. How he passed up on Jefferson to get Rager. I think Rager is fine. How's Jefferson doing with Minnesota?
Well, they made a mistake. You know,
but he said it before. He said,
That's why I've got enough information. That's what I'm saying here, Daryl. They haven't been successful. All right, they tried. It didn't work. You got to move on when that happens.
But that's why I'm basically done with Doug. I was there with him, but I don't know. And then Jeff Jackson yesterday, did you see how he caught that ball? That was great. And he's looking behind. It's like, you won. And then he does the flip. I heard he got hurt after that flip.
Well, I don't know if it was the flip that got him hurt. But the guy runs down the field and gets hurt. He's brittle. He can't play anymore. He had one play in him yesterday.
Well, you can't bring him back next year.
No, you can't. You can't bring either of those guys back. You got to take that hit, whatever it is. But you can't take 34.6. Like, I'm going to gulp to take 16. But it's for the overall greater good. I can't take 34.6.
Yeah. Well, he's got to get another coach or something to work with Carson.
I agree.
I think he's buddies with that guy. And, like, you need to have that respect. And because I'm sure the guy tells Carson, and Carson will probably say, yeah, I know. Like he tells us. Yeah, that's on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, well, actually, did he throw Howie under the bus? A lot of people interpret that he threw Howie under the bus today with his comments saying he would like to get more involved. But then he stopped short and he said he drew the line. He doesn't want to cross that line.
We have question.
Yeah. All right, let's hear
it. Rob Motti asked the question.
Yeah, Rob Motti asked the question. And Rob afterwards said, thanks, coach, which you know, I have to speak to Rob about. But let's hear the question.
Hey, Doug, speaking of those draft picks and free agents and acquiring talent, how do you feel now after 5 years about your role in bringing in personnel? And is it possible, is that something that you would evaluate wanting to have more input, have more say in the talent that you guys bring in?
You know, Rob, that's one of the things, you know, you get into this business, especially as a head coach, and you do it because you love being around the players and you want to teach football. And I want to be a part of the solution. I want to be a part of the evaluation process. I want to be a voice that's heard. And, you know, I want to have that collaborative communication with Howie and his staff and be a part of that process. I don't necessarily want to cross that line because of it takes you away from doing your job as a head football coach. And I like being on the football side of things as a former football player and obviously now a coach. That's where my passion lies. But yet I want to be part of the solution. I want to help evaluate and help bring guys in here that can help us win.
All right. So what was he saying there? He originally sounded like he was lamenting that he doesn't have any say in the personnel matter. And then he said, well, I don't want it anyway.
That's because he would get fired. If he said, yeah, man.
So he said it, and then he realized that maybe he's got to, like, you know, smooth this out.
It is kind of ridiculous how in the dark he apparently is. There have been a lot of people who have said that sort of Doug just, like, sits there and waits, and then they give him the groceries, and he just has to cook. I'm not saying he should be the main guy. He absolutely should not be. But if you want to play a certain way, you should have some input on the players that will play your system, and it's ridiculous how little say he apparently has. Although, he seemed like he was awfully happy about that Hurts pick.
Well, it's interesting how he said Howie and his staff, too. I find that language to be a bit divisive.
Yeah. But guys have said that. Like, a lot of the beat writers have said he doesn't really get any input when it comes to the draft. Like, mm-hmm. It's just sort of, hey, Doug, you'll be on the Zoom, but like, this year. But we don't really care what you have to say. You're just there. In fact, it seems like the owner gets to pick players more than the coach. And you can't have that. That's not a winning prescription. No.
You know what he should say to them? He should say, did you guys play NFL? Were you guys quarterbacks in the NFL? Yeah,
he kind of like went like 5 minutes worth of that. Maybe in the 4 o'clock hour, we can play some Doug giving you his resume.
I have some of that as well.
We'll do the resume audio in the 4 o'clock hour while we have Brian Westbrook on quickly for a quick hit on what he has to say. It's amazing. Jalen Hurts has not been brought up once. We're 2 hours into the show. No pro Jalen calls here.
I don't know where they went.
They hid somewhere. All right, we're back after this. Mike Missinelli Show. Brian Westbrook up next.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. You can check them out online at landisbc.com. All right, we are joined next by the man who joins us every Monday for some game analysis, brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. Without further ado, let's bring him in. He is the great Jalen Hurts. I'm sorry, it's Brian Westbrook. Brian! B-West, how you making out?
I'm doing well, Mikey. How are you?
All right, by the way, Jalen is brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. All right, so listen, you know, I'm messing with you here because we were going back and forth. And early on, you're fired up about Jalen, but then suddenly the text stopped. So I was wondering how you evaluated my man's performance yesterday.
Well, I mean, I think you got to look at it objectively and say that, you know, Jalen started hot. He played well. They went out and put up some points early in that football game. You talk about 14 points early on. You know, they had the run game going. They had the play action pass going. Obviously, the deep ball to DeSean Jackson was a huge play, big chunk plays, something that they certainly needed. Putting up 17 points in the first half was impressive, something that we haven't done enough this season. And then in the second half, you know, things changed. Running game slowed up. Opportunities there just weren't as good. Jalen Hurts missed some wide-open receivers. There were times with his throws he was pressing and trying to make plays that just weren't there to be made. And that's why you get the interceptions. And, of course, you got to hold on to the football. I mean, the ball is on the ground way too many times throughout the course of the game over the last couple of weeks. And so there are certainly things to clean up. But yeah, you have to look at the rookie and say that, you know, he played well at least for the first half of the football game.
All right. So let's move forward on the line of thinking, because I think what at the end of the day is going to happen is that he's not going to be impressive enough for a majority of fans to go, yeah, we should proceed with him as the franchise quarterback. But where do you stand on that? Have you seen enough to think that they should go with Jalen Hurts next year?
Well, Mike, I haven't changed my stance at all. My stance was very clear when I mentioned it, you know, about 2-3 weeks ago, that they have to see what they have with Jalen Hurts. And because of the salary situation, as far as the dead cap money, if you get rid of Carson Wentz, you can't go into the situation without him on your team. You just can't afford to do it. It would be the biggest hit that any team in the history of the NFL would have taken. So you can't move forward that way. And I can't see a football team having both Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz on it. So in that sense, the only way to kind of resolve this situation is you have Carson Wentz back. You have to find a way to fix Carson Wentz. I'm talking about a total rebuild of his mechanics, his fundamentals, all those different things. You have to fix the quarterback, Carson Wentz. And if you can't, if these two can't be on the same team at the same time, and I don't know that for 100% sure, but if they can't be on the same team at the same time, now you have to see if there's any value out there for a guy like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that's exactly my stance. But let's look at this overall situation, because, you know, I know it's tough for you to go kind of against football hierarchy, and I get where that would be. I have already stated, I've seen enough, that this team is so discombobulated, there needs to be a change in direction with the head coach and the general manager. And you can just look at the way the game was played yesterday. He had no idea what to do on fourth down. The false starts showed an undisciplined team. His game plan came off the running game, which was very successful with the zone read. It's just a mess to me, and it's got to be changed. Now, how do you feel about that?
Well, no, I mean, I think you certainly have to clean up a lot of different things. And your team doesn't get to this point where they've won four games if you're going to be perfect as far as penalties, which they are not. You're not going to get to this point where you've only won four games where you can defend guys down the field, which obviously we couldn't do in the defense yesterday without the quarterback making mistakes like the interceptions and the fumble that Hurts had. I mean, you don't get to the point where this football team is at and if everything is right. The other part to that is part of the reason why you're 4-10 is some of the decisions and play calls from the coach. Doug Peterson, where I thought he had a great feel for the game in the first half, in the second half, it seemed like he went back to the old playbook, the playbook that said, okay, we're just going to depend on our quarterback and allow him to get us in and out of certain situations. And it's just hard to do that with the rookie quarterback. And so because of that, you know, it's hard to sit here and tell you that, you know, Doug Peterson will be back 100% next year. I will say this. And Doug, actually, when you listen to his press conference, he went through his resume pretty well.
Oh, yes, he did.
And I understand where he's coming from. He said, I've been there for 5 years. You're talking about three playoff bursts, two NFC championship games, and a doggone NFC East title, excuse me, and a Super Bowl. He went through all of that, and I understand that. He's pleading his resume, and I get that. I also understand how this team continues to play for Doug Peterson. I get that. That makes sense to me. I understand, and I've been on teams that have quit on coaches before. I've been on teams that have done that. And because of all the things that have happened this year, injuries, COVID, the lack of practices, things like that, in my opinion, you bring Doug back, you find a way, and you have to get this question answered. Can you fix Carson Wentz? Do you know how to fix Carson Wentz? Because he didn't improve all season long. If you can't fix Carson Wentz, then you can't have him back. But if you can, and you have a plan to fix Carson Wentz, like he said he did today, I have to bring Doug back because there were a lot of things against Doug as far as his coaching ability this season. When you talk about the injuries and all those other things that have happened.
Listen, I get it. But see, this has happened time and time again this year. And this notion that the team plays for him, it kind of goes out the window for me. They had six false starts yesterday. Is that playing for him? Is that playing for a disciplined coach? It speaks to your whole discipline as a football team, though. So what are they? What do you mean they're playing for him? What's that mean?
Well, playing for him means effort. Your willingness to go out there and put your butt on the line and execute the play. That's what playing for them is. You've seen teams that have quit on their coach. You've seen teams that, you know, they go down by 7, and the next thing you know, now they're down by 30. We're not seeing that.
See, it's
that.
All the same to me. If you don't execute, you're not playing for your coach.
There's a big difference. There literally is a big difference between a team that has quit on the coach and a team that's not executing. And that's a big difference. Now, these guys with the false start penalties, that's a lack of discipline. That's a lack of execution. I get that. But I'm talking about going out there and seeing some of these plays that they are making or trying to make. That's not quitting on the coach. I haven't seen a football team quit on Doug Peterson as of
yet. All right, let's look at the personnel then. Because they're bare bones. I get it. I understand all that thing. But I go, what is Howie Roe? What gem has he uncovered when you look at this roster right now? When you look at this starting team, where are the gems?
I mean, no, I haven't seen a bunch of guys, and I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. You know, over the last 4 years of drafting, the last four seasons, you know, you had 28 picks. Only four of those guys are legit starters: Maialata, Sanders, Barnett, and you got to question him a little bit at this point because he needs to get out there and play. And Dallas Goedert. I mean, you got four out of 24. That's just not hitting as frequently enough, especially if your team is not, you know, going to be able to win and get some veteran contributions. And so at this point, you have to question Howie's ability to get the right guys in the system, his ability to draft. I know Howie has hit on a lot of free agents. I understand that. He's done a good job with that in the past. But recently, we haven't hit on the draft picks, and that's when you look at teams that haven't been very good. But I'll give you an example. New England hasn't hit on a bunch of their draft picks either, but they have one of the best schemes as far as coaching staff, and they have the best quarterback of all time up there in Tom Brady. We have not hit on a lot of our draft picks, and our quarterback just happened to have one of his worst seasons as a professional. I mean, it's just hard to overcome those types of things, especially when in the season where you have so many injuries across the offensive line, the defensive side of the ball, wide receiver position as well. I mean, it's a perfect storm for everything that's happened with the Philadelphia Eagles this season.
All right, so you're saying that you think it is possible that Hurts come back as a backup, that he has at least established that they could have a competent backup. You think that could work?
Mike, I didn't say that.
You said Carson has to come back as the starter.
No, that's not what I said at all. What I'm saying is that because of the contract, it's hard for me to see this team moving forward without Carson Wentz. It's just hard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You have to find a way to fix Carson Wentz. You have to find a way to get his fundamentals back. You have to find a way to get his footwork back in line with the quality quarterbacking that we've seen in the past from Carson Wentz. The other thing, if you're telling me that Carson Wentz cannot stand seeing Jalen Hurts behind him, the same way that Tom Brady couldn't stand seeing Jimmy G behind him, then now we have to find a way to either change that or move on from Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's the only.
That's basically what I'm saying. That if you can get value for Hurts, you move him. But it would be okay if you tried to bring him back.
Again, it depends. The quarterback situation is a delicate thing. when quarterbacks see other quarterbacks in their position that are a threat, then it's an issue. Again, look at the best ever, Tom Brady. Look at his feeling about Jimmy G behind him. He wanted him out of there, and he got him out of there. If you're telling me that Carson Wentz as a player, this is something that only Carson can answer, but if Carson Wentz as a player doesn't feel comfortable with Jalen Hurts behind him, then you don't have a choice, especially if you're going to continue to think that he's going to be the guy that can be the face of this franchise.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I don't think he's comfortable with him. But I guess what I'm asking is, you can't give him away either. Like, if somebody calls and says, we'll give you a third. All right, so you have to give value. So how do you define value? Is a second round pick value?
Absolutely.
It is. So you would take a second round pick. How about a third?
I mean, I think he's a second round pick. I mean, he's the guy that you picked up in the second round. So I'm looking for at least a second round pick if we're talking about trading. I'm not an expert at trades at all, but I'm looking for at least a second round pick.
Yeah, I am too. I would actually look for better value than what you drafted him. But if that's not available, I'm just trying to think, if you can't get the value, you would chance bringing him back.
Again, if you can't get the value that you're looking for, then you have no other choice. At that point, you got to try to figure out the conversation with Carson. That's the only thing, because that's the variable that you can't control.
Yeah.
You can't control how Carson is going to feel. That's the one thing that you can't control. Now I need to go to Carson and say, hey, how do you feel about this? And if you're okay with it as the starter, you're going to be the guy. You got to, again, rebuild that trust. You got to rebuild.
Is Carson the type of guy that would actually say to you, no, I'm not comfortable with it?
You know,
because we can tell he isn't, but what he say then?
I don't know Carson well enough to be able to tell you what exactly Carson would say. I would imagine that he would say he was cool with it. I would imagine, but again, I don't know him well enough to say yes or no with that.
All right, sounds good. Did you have a good holiday?
It was a great holiday.
Awesome.
Kids are happy. I'm happy. You know, wife is good.
Did you get any motorized stuff?
I got nothing. I mean, motorized. No, I got some.
Not for the kids. Not for the kids. Did you get the motorized stuff for the kids? Like the
absolutely. Yeah.
Cars and stuff. Yeah.
Cars, batteries. We're plugging in everything, charging everything, and getting more batteries every single day. Seems like that.
All right. Sounds good, Brian. Always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you Friday. Oh no, we won't. That's New Year's Day. All right, man. Yeah, that's New Year's Day, right?
Yeah.
We won't be on Friday, will we?
No.
All right. So basically, I don't think it's possible to have them both back. I agree with Brian, and because of this cap hit, Wentz has to come back as a starter. I also believe it can't be Doug who comes back with Carson. Therefore, I almost have to give Hurts away because everybody else knows it. So what could you actually get for Hurts?
It depends. See, there are people out there who don't think he should play the last week of the year and have a bunch of backups because you want to guarantee you lose it because you want to have, now that you're out, the draft pick's
the
important.
Third pick in the draft.
Possibly. Depends.
Best
case scenario. You're in the top 10 for sure now. People want it to be as good as possible by losing.
Mm-hmm.
But coming off a bit of at least the second half stinker, not the whole game, the second half stinker, you might need him to play again on that big stage. So that fans in other cities are pressuring these general managers to go get a quarterback like him.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is you got a bad offensive line, and Mailata's now a concussion protocol because of a dirty play that's been that the league is now reviewing officially. So who the heck's going to block for him? And if he's going to be under siege, he's not going to play well. So it's like, what do you do? What's the balance? But he probably needs to play to try to keep that value as high, because three games is not enough to get a lot for him.
Yeah.
I don't think.
All right.
So you probably need him on a national stage to go off, maybe keep Washington out of the playoffs, play the spoiler, and then you go, man, look at this quarterback.
Yeah.
He's available.
Yeah.
Give me the 21st pick in the draft. Like, but if he just comes off of a stinker again, then what do you do?
Let me ask you this. You think the Eagles will play hard next week after what happened?
I can't imagine.
It depends on who plays. Ertz isn't playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
Alshon not playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun probably wouldn't play hard. Sanders would play hard. Goddard will play hard.
Yeah.
I think you have to be very careful. You know, Fogum needs to, you got to be very careful who you're playing in this game. These have to be young guys who kind of know they're going to be back or on the borderline.
Yeah.
If they know they're going, they're not going to play hard. So if they know, like Ertz is like, please, I got to get through one more week, and now y'all going to trade me, and I can go. There's no way he's laying out for balls.
Yeah, it's true.
But other guys are like, I got to put this on film. So I think you need to go down like your roster and go, okay, this guy, he's deactivated. This guy starts.
The Eagles are a opening favorite in this game, right?
Yeah, 1 point.
Is it one?
Yeah.
All right.
It's at home.
Yeah.
For whatever that's
I don't know how to call it, to be honest with you.
It could go either way. Washington still stinks.
If they stink, I'm going to boo into the sky.
I can't with a Sunday
night. Carries.
Also, I'm furious about this Sunday night thing. I'm furious.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I got to stay up late to watch this. I got to stay up late for this.
Yeah.
Just put it at 1 o'clock call it a day.
Yeah, we got to stay up late. All right. John Haddon Township. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys.
Hey, you too, buddy.
Hey, listen. Do we remember how we got Dougie in the first place? It's because of the breakup of Chip and Jeffy. And he brought Howie back, and now he's got his buddy. And the problem is they brought Doug in because they know Doug will play nice.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug knows the rules. And you saw today at the presser, right? You even said it. He stood down. He almost said that he almost crossed that line and then just said, I'm not going to do it. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he
I
did say
you 100%. You got to get rid of Howie. But is Doug going to do it? I mean, is Jeff going to do it? Because who are they going to get to come in here and coach if the coach is coming in knowing that he's got to take orders from Howie? Right?
Yeah, I give. There's always a guy's going to take a job, though. They're not going to turn down a job because Howie Roseman's the GM. You got a chance to be an NFL head coach, you're taking that.
Yeah, I know. I get that. Somebody will take the job, but I mean like a quality.
No, a quality guy will take the job. It's the Eagles' job. It's a major market job.
Yeah, but that just means more of the same. Is he going to come in and have to play nice? Like, that's like.
He'll set his own parameters.
Does Schwartz stay if they get rid of Doug?
No, I think he's gone. I think he's gone anyway.
Doug can't even go over on the sideline and tell him what to do.
I think Schwartz is gone anyway. That'll be a definite casualty. I can't imagine why he would keep Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman. I really can't after what this mess has turned out to be. It would be delinquent to your fans.
You're right. And I'm done getting all fired up about it at this point because it is what it is. And I think we should play Nate Sudfeld on Monday night, too.
I had tweeted out yesterday because I love my boy Nate. And he was still cozied up. Did you see it? He was all sideline coziness with Carson.
I saw a guy, a quarterback standing next to a quarterback that's a friend. I didn't see what you saw, but I saw them two together.
I didn't see coziness.
Carson's no longer the starter, right? You think Nate would cozy to the other dude?
Wentz cozies up to the other guy. When he comes off, they're around each other a lot. They didn't show it a lot.
It's annoying. That whole thing's annoying to me.
Well, where else do you want him to stand? He's a quarterback.
Sudfeld?
Yeah, where do you want him to stand?
Stand near Hurts. Hurts is the one playing.
No, Wentz is the one that goes.
Wentz is
the one that goes. I don't care who his friend is. Comfort the other guy that's playing.
He's not comforting anybody. He's not friends with
Hurts. He should be comforting. He's a quarterback. They're in the room together.
He's probably comforting.
He should come to the sidelines, be there in case the guy has a question.
I don't think he's comforting anybody.
He might be comforting Carson now. I would want my friend to comfort me if I was bad.
Sidelines, comfort him. Let go of his house and comfort him.
Wentz is talking.
The sidelines, you got Hurts playing.
But Wentz
is the one that talks to Hurts. Wentz is the one that talks to Hurts. They do that. Wentz, when he comes off, they're just sitting with the surface. Wentz is the one that says, hey, they were in cover two in that spot. They were in cover three in that spot.
Sudfeld annoys me.
I don't know why. Our friendship is good in America.
Yeah.
We need more friendship, not
friendship,
less.
Friendship off the field.
Yeah, no, you need friendship
be
in
friends
the field.
Off
what
the
if
field?
They're talking about football? They're probably talking about football.
We ain't talking to Carson about football anymore.
Plus, we know that Hurts got hurt in the first half. He probably was trying to get the mental reps in case he had to come in the game.
What do you think he was asking him how his Christmas goose was?
I'm sure they're talking about football.
It just annoys me that Wentz needs a little Buddy Gilligan all the time. That guy provides a little Buddy Gilligan.
I don't see
I'm tired of
all these things into it. You've been saying that for years that he needs. I don't know if you have a friend, like here, I talk to Natalie more than most people here. Does that mean I need, like, I still can function without Natalie?
That's different.
My friend.
You guys are in the same boot together. Sir, you guys are functioning as a team in the booth when it work. They're not functioning as a team. What was he functioning with Carson yesterday? Nothing.
They're going over stuff.
Going over your sister.
Wentz
going
over. Hurts got hurt in the game. We learned that after the game.
I would like to see some. I'm self-felt. I go over and see if Jalen has a question for me. I'm in the quarterback room. I bet if I buddy up here, I'll stand next to the coach. Let Carson sit on his bench.
Yeah, but here's the
himself.
Problem.
Himself. My God, you got to hold the guy's hand.
Hurts goes right around him and goes to Wentz and says, hey, Carson, what happened on that play?
So what? Just make yourself available. That's all
he's
I'm asking.
Available. No one's going to ask a Sudfeld. He's never played football before. Who's going to ask a Sudfeld? He's asking Carson. And Carson, for all the bad teammate stuff, apparently is helpful to Hurts. That's been very consistent by everybody around the team. That if Hurts has a question, Carson's there to answer.
No, at least, yeah, Carson's telling him. Yeah, man, hold on to the ball just a little longer. You know, wait.
You got to wait for these guys to get open.
He might have.
Wait for the pattern.
The way it went yesterday.
And in the end zone, listen.
Extend the play. You can do it.
Don't worry about taking points off the board. Throw that interception right in the end zone. Yeah. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Hey, listen, the dude calls a pass. Don't. Just do, you know, just run the ball. Here.
Kill.
Kill it to a read, a zone read. That's all I can tell. That's my advice.
That's what I would tell you. That's what I would do. I'm not telling you to do it.
Go, yeah. Listen to what Carson says.
He'll be gone now. This is this last year.
Get his ass out of here. I'm tired of seeing him.
I'm a fan of him.
I don't even notice him.
You're a fan of him.
Yeah, I like guys that stay in their lane. He stays in his lane. He knows where he's at.
That's because he got no lane. There's no lane for the guy.
Third quarterback collecting his checks, buying his time.
And you like that.
Well, yeah,
you like a fake who's just collected a check and has no ability to play.
I don't know.
You like Justin Anderson.
He might have ability to play.
That's why you like Justin.
What does he have anything to do with
it?
He's
a flagger.
Like Justin Anderson. That's why he likes him. He likes the guy. He likes the guy that's the team guy, the glue guy, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
he likes
that type of guy. I wish we had more of those guys around here, frankly. Instead, we got the lowest guys on the totem pole talking the most trash, like they're special. I need those guys to fall in line, the low totem pole guys.
Oh, 6-1-0-6-3-2-0-9-7-5. I got a question for you on the other side. It occurred to me yesterday, watching the Sixers game yesterday, and nothing had happened in the game. It's just a general question.
All right? Yeah.
All right, we're back after this Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Twitter poll time. Get an update on our numbers. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons at 4:30 with Natalie. Nat.
Alrighty, Mike. Today's poll has, but yeah, it has a ton of votes on it. I'll tell you in 1 second. It has over 1,200 votes on it so far. Should Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman's jobs be safe now that the Eagles will officially miss the playoffs? 3% say yes, it's mainly Wentz's fault. 4% say no, bad coaching. 16% say no, bad roster. 77% say no, bad coaching and roster.
Well, that leads to one conclusion. And I've already said it 100 times today, but that's just me. People say, how could you call for somebody's job? People call for my job every day. You ever read my Twitter?
They call for mine, too.
Same.
And worse. Yeah. So, and worse.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, Doug.
Yeah. When are you going to be fired, Buccaneers? Football Monday on the Fanatic is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable in every season. Flexible financing options for every budget. Find a Pierce Fells Bryant dealer near you. Visit nopaybryant.com. All right, so here's the question I have for you that has to do with the NBA. So I'm watching the Sixers last night, and it wasn't enjoyable. But there was a female official. Natalie Sago.
Yeah.
Yes. I kind of think it's in a tomboyish way, kind of cute. But in any event, I was watching Doc chew her out. And I'm going, you know, this is interesting. There are four female officials in the NBA, and I know how these coaches talk to those officials.
Yep.
Like, they go off and they go profane.
Yep.
And I wonder if when an NBA coach holds back a bit when it's a female official.
I hope not.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I think they do, but I hope, I wish they would.
I'm trying to figure out how I would react to that. Like, could I get in the, well, I don't want to say shorts, but you know what I mean. I can't get anybody's shorts. Like, it's a, you know?
Yeah, here's the challenging thing. Mm-hmm. If you hold back, it's actually sexist.
Yeah.
Because
for sure.
She did, first of all, the Sixers got blown out. They were terrible. She was horrendous. Last night she was a very bad referee.
Yes.
She was calling, she was way too involved in the game.
Yeah.
She was bad. Now, there's tons of male refs that are bad. And for a second, I even caught myself thinking, should I say how she's bad? Yeah. But I'm like, you know what? If it was a guy,
no,
I wouldn't hesitate to say it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean.
I think if you were going to curse out, now, we probably shouldn't curse out refs, period. But if you're Doc Rivers and you would normally curse out a male ref and you see her messing up, I think you kind of have to treat her the same way.
Yeah, but we're conditioned to not do, like, you're, I know, right. I'm conditioned not to be profane,
right,
in front of the ladies, and maybe, right, you know, I that's just how I was brought up, I guess.
Right.
So it would be really tough for me to let that loose, I think. And I just wonder if the NBA coaches go through that same struggle.
They probably do, but I feel like you have to give it to her the same way you would the male ref. So if a ref on the other end made a bad call when your team's shooting through the other basket, and they're standing there and he messed up and you would call him whatever.
Yeah.
You got to call her the same thing to me. I think you got to be, or you just don't curse at anybody, which is probably the best way to go.
Yeah.
But it's not realistic.
Well, I think the cursing is fine. I think it would be over the line if he were to, you know, make a reference about her being a woman doing the job.
Yeah, like, that's absolutely.
You wouldn't do that to a man.
You know, listen, I know coaches use the two word which has blended into one word. Uh-huh. It starts with an M and has an F in it all the time.
Oh, right.
I wonder if that's, like, do they stop there?
Do
they go to that and stop?
I hope that they go all the way with that. Because, one, if she's doing a bad job, she needs to hear about it. The same way a man would. And she's not going to die. Because if you start having to speak differently for them, then you get the people to say, oh, they're ruining the game, blah, blah, blah. You got to be your full self.
Yeah. I get it. I think they'll get past that barrier. But I think originally, this is like the first time four have been in the NBA, right?
Yeah, there's been a few. There's been a couple for a while. And generally, by the way, I don't notice them, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
She was terrible.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it was because, I'm not saying she was terrible because she's a woman. She just was bad at reffing last night.
Yeah.
I was like, stop with the whistles. Let's play basketball. She was calling something on Dwight Howard like every possession.
Yeah.
She's like, stop blowing the whistles. Sit down. Stop.
Yeah.
I say the same thing to the guy. No one shows up to see refs. The less of you, the better. Yeah. All of you, male, female, or whatever, less of you is more.
Uh-huh.
Yet she just decided she was going to be all over the TV.
Yeah.
Ruining a 20-point blowout.
Like, I put myself in their position now. Do they think they have to be like, like that way to get, to, you know, have a command of the game, that, you know, to show people that they have command. Like, it's really interesting. This whole transition is interesting.
Yeah, it's tough, but I think you got to, probably bad idea to curse people out, period.
Yeah.
But if you're a curse outer, then she's got to get it the same way the male would.
Yeah.
Or you're giving her preferential treatment, which I'm sure she doesn't want.
No.
Yeah, I got you. I saw Doc chewing around. I go, yeah, it dawned on me. Like, what's he said? Like, does he, like, edit himself or, like?
Probably. But I don't know if that's a good thing. I find that, because I obviously work with women in both of my jobs, and I have to be able to just, if I feel like if I'm holding back, then I'm actually treating you like you're a little lamb.
Well, and also
versus a full adult.
Having been, you know, the only woman in a ton of situations in my career, I've always preferred when people just don't acknowledge that I'm a female. Like when I worked in the locker room, the Eagles Super Bowl season, those years, like I just wanted to get in there so I could do my job, and I didn't want it to be about me being a woman. I mean, you know?
Yeah, I got you. All right, let's go Collingsdale. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, John?
How you doing? Hey, Mike. Hi, Nelly. Hi, Tyrone. How you guys doing?
What's going on, John? How you doing?
Good, good, good. Listen, man, I need Tyrone input, and if Nelly can get in there too, that'll be fine. But I need you to think about the way I was thinking here a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
You see where Laurie got rid of Rosen when we brought Chip Kelly in.
Yeah.
You saw when he pulled Chip Kelly the last two games of the season, he fired him.
Yep.
And I need him to do the same thing to Doug Peterson.
Yeah, well, he's not. That's not going to happen.
After the game.
Oh, right after Sunday, the Washington game.
After the game Sunday, called it quit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only reason I'm saying this, or, I mean, you give me your input on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all looking for a coach. You talking about the guy there at Kansas City, Bellamy, and everybody else. We have the coach in our own backyard. And I think he went two times for the interview.
You talking about Deuce Staley?
Deuce has to get this chance now. And you don't bring back, I mean, you keep Jalen Hurts and you keep Carson Wentz. You're not paying Jalen Hurts anything. And you know Carson Wentz is sustainable to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you can work with that. Just like Miami did with Fitzpatrick and Tua. Chicago with, what's the guy's name in Chicago? Foles and Trubisky. So you can work with these two. Like I say, you're not paying Jalen Hurts anything. So.
Yeah, I don't know that you can work with the two. It's a little different circumstance. But you're saying you ease the transition by having Deuce Staley. I don't know how that changes Carson's outlook, because he's clearly uncomfortable with Jalen Hurts there.
No, I think he would play better, because what you're going to do, you're going to leave Deuce Staley to bring his own offensive coordinator in, his receivers coach, his defensive coach in. Let that happen.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll see if that happens. I know, like, the Deuce thing. Maybe he would be a good head coach. I have no idea about Deuce Staley at this point. Is that a move? Do you think that would be a compromise move by Lurie? He moves Doug out. He brings leaves the stability of Deuce in there.
Yeah, that actually feels somewhat like a Lurie move, because he.
Mm-hmm. It does feel like a Lurie move.
Doug was partially hired because of Andy Reid and then Ron Jaworski's co-sign originally. So I would imagine if Andy called him, Andy about to win another Super Bowl, hey, you know this guy's a solid guy.
Yeah.
He'd be stable. He would be a kind of a CEO-type head coach, so you'd have an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. He can help rehab the quarterback. He would have tough love. Yeah, I actually could see that happening. It actually sounds realistic to me.
Yeah, and they keep Howie.
And they keep Howie, yep.
See, that's not enough for me.
See, but the problem is Howie's safe. Everybody says Howie's safe. Now, he shouldn't be. I don't know how you look at that roster and say, hey,
I don't know. Listen, at this point, they said he was safe like a couple weeks ago.
This was like Christmas. He was safe Christmas.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just like things. Like that loss last night, and hopefully they lose against Washington, and that, because at that point you go, hey, come on, I got to change something here. I can't keep the same thing. That's why I'm hoping they don't win next week.
Yeah,
that shouldn't change anything, should it? Even if they were to win,
you got
to
keep the taste bitter.
Yeah,
you know, like I want that taste to be bitter for Lurie to go, all right, I had enough.
Yeah.
All right, let's go, Joan in Warrington. Joan, what's up?
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Joan.
Hi. Listen, I'm an 83-year-old woman living in a nursing home on one leg, and I can remember the plays that they're talking about after the game, and the coach can't. I think that was sick that he couldn't remember that. This happened about 3 weeks
ago. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was trying to get you there. I was a season ticket holder all through the 60s and 70s. And when Tyrone said today about freezing out there, boy, there were days when I couldn't feel my feet. And back in the days when they threw snowballs and sand, I was to all those things.
Yeah.
And Franklin Field was a great place to watch the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't have the answer. Everybody thinks they have the answer to this thing. And we've had rotten teams in this city.
Joan, it sounds like you have the answer. You've been a fan for a long time. We pour over every play. I want to hear what your answer is.
Fire Peterson. Listen. A few months back, or years back, I was right the first time, a couple of years, not too long ago, we threw Andy Reid out of town. Now he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, at the time, though, he wasn't sliced bread.
Well, no.
See, here's the thing, Joan. You know that we take it like the current value.
Yeah,
you know,
well, I'm going. Every Monday morning I call my sister who's 90, and the two of us discuss the Eagles every Monday.
You guys sound awesome. I would love to be in on that conversation.
Well, we discuss the Eagles every Monday morning, and this morning my sister says wait till next year, and I said we're running out of next year. You know, we want some action now. We want some weather. The Phillies really got me this year. I love the Phillies too, and they really got me. They disappointed me that they couldn't win one game in eight or whatever it was at the end of the season, and now the Eagles, and they really. I feel sorry for Wentz, and everybody's focusing on the offense. Our defense stinks. Don't you agree?
Yes, they do, Joe.
In the Super Bowl, Reid threw for over 500 yards, and they couldn't stop a pass, and they still can't stop a pass. And yesterday when we went up 14-0, I thought, I hope they can hold this. I don't think so.
You sound like a delight. And listen, dear, you stay healthy and you keep watching and keep calling, okay?
Well, I had to wait. What do these men do that? Yeah, I waited over an hour.
Well, I appreciate that, Joni.
I live long enough to wait an hour.
All right, dear. Listen, you take.
Should be working.
I hear you.
I know you have to hang up.
Yeah, okay. We got to get to a break. But I appreciate your call, and don't be a stranger. Okay, you take care.
Okay.
All right, there it is, Joan Warrington. How about that? Talking Eagle football with the sis.
She's the greatest
sharp.
Call this
she
year.
She is sharp.
She's sharp. And she's right. The defense does stink.
Yeah.
They haven't been talked about enough.
She's been through it all, too. If she's calling for Doug's, nobody can question Joan.
That's awesome call.
Peace, Doug.
I talk to my sister. She's 90. They just keep they grinding it out.
Can you see that? What happened? I can't. When I get 90, no more.
Are you going to get 90? You got that kind of longevity in your fam? I got no chance. I was talking to my buddy the other day. His father died at 90. His mother's 88, still living. His grandfather lived at 96. I go, dude, you got like 35 more years on you.
If I could avoid one specific ailment, I can go.
Yeah? I got no chance.
If I could avoid having a stroke.
Yeah.
Then I can go, but that's the thing.
What's the relative that lived the oldest in your family?
No, I got relatives into the 90s.
Oh, really? Well, then you got no problem.
But
you got relatives that lived into the 90s?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, there's somebody in my family who I think lived to 104.
No, not my family. Not reached 90.
Elizabeth does too.
Really?
Her grandfather didn't take care of himself, and he lived to like 93, and he didn't even try. He's living 93.
I didn't see you at age 90. You'd be like that character that that Arsenio played in the barbershop
and Coming to America.
Like you have that gray beard and you know.
Yeah, except I'm gonna do a lot of chilling when I get that age. You're not gonna see me out much. Be somewhere on my deck.
You got a long life ahead of both of you. I'm jealous. We're back after this on the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:49, Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. It's an Eagle review day, and I'm on record. I've seen enough, and I saw enough mess in the way that game was coached yesterday to tell people that my opinion is that they need to both go. And if you're really interested in proactive change with the way this team is right now, both the coach and the general manager have to go. And that's the way I feel. And you know, listen, they'll be fine. Doug Peterson's got to several million more dollars, and he'll get another job quickly. And I don't know about Howie, but, you know, I don't know what happens to him.
Howie'll be all right. Yeah. He'll end up being the cap guy for another team, which is what he should be, because he can't pick players. We've seen enough at this point. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But he can do the cap. Well, he hasn't done the cap well here.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what he is. You know, I knew Banner. Banner had an acumen for that, and Banner had hard and fast rules, and he didn't care about sentimentality.
But he didn't win.
And that worked for a while, but no, he didn't win. But they won a lot of games when he was here.
A lot, but he didn't win a Super Bowl.
No.
So what you need is somebody who's like him, but is a little bit smarter about when to vary.
Yeah.
Like Brian Dawkins would have been a time to vary, because he ended up having multiple good years after they let him go.
Yeah.
Play well for the Broncos, making Pro Bowls. You have to know when to make an exception and when not to.
Yeah, that was his biggest mistake ever.
Yeah, he didn't know how to make exceptions.
Yeah.
But that's doable. There's other guys who know how to do it.
All right, Sterling in Vineland, New Jersey. What's up, Sterling?
Hey, guys, how are you? Happy holidays to all of you.
You too, Sterling.
Hey, you know, I think what I want to do is backtrack here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
There was a caller that, you know, was very pro Doug Peterson.
Yes.
One
call today, and I go, like, how?
I don't understand, because if you go back to the Super Bowl, you know, it wasn't Doug Peterson. I think it was more Frank Reich.
Yeah, but I see, I can't take it away from him, and I won't. I won't take it away. I'm not going to sit here and say it had nothing to do with Doug Peterson. They won a Super Bowl with the head coach.
Oh, no, absolutely, the head coach, but I think that Frank Reich, okay, had a lot to do with working with Nick Foles in that short amount of time when he was...
Maybe he did, but still, I don't think you can discredit the head coach.
No, I'm not discrediting him at all, not at all. But I think, too, that, you know, going back to yesterday's game, they, you know, the Eagles started out fantastic, you know, running the ball with the offense and everything, and then you throw one pass for 80 yards for a touchdown, you know, and then DeSean Jackson, he does his little flip in the end zone. You need to save that for the circus, okay? But my thing is this: why stop doing something, okay, that's working?
Yeah, okay. Well, and that's one of the reasons why he's got to go, because he apparently can't recognize that. Hasn't recognized it all year, frankly.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then when you go to the defensive side of the ball, now the young guy there, Jaquet, he was having a hard time. There's no question about it. But my thing is this, that Jim Schwartz, okay, needs to make adjustments during the game. And that's not happening. And what should have happened was he should have gave him help over the top or take him out of the game earlier than the game.
But see, you got two guys you have to cover. So help over the top. Listen, he doesn't have anybody to work with back there, right? You can assume that, it was a genius move that made it move Jalen Mills over there. It was different. Who's Jalen Mills? When did he become a shutdown guy? Yeah, you two guys you had to cover. You put Slay on the best guy at first, and then you move Slay to another guy, and then you're trying to play with the journeyman guys.
Well, but Mills was better.
Yeah, I guess he was. He wasn't. Well, how many plays? Five?
Nah, he played the rest of the third and all of the fourth quarter.
I'm not a Jalen Mills guy. So.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not better than Jaquet.
He is, but then you're going, well, then who do I put at safety? Like, he's got nobody.
Well, they drafted safeties. This is my issue. And you let Epps go. Why'd you let Epps go if you ain't got no safety depth? Like, this is what I mean with Howell.
Parks. They had Epps.
Yeah, Parks. Parks is playing well for Denver. Why isn't he here playing?
Yeah,
so you'd have that functionality. This is more Howie. And why is he playing well for Denver if he couldn't get on the field for you?
Well, and who's watching them at practice? That's what I don't understand. Who is actually watching the team at practice?
Well, I think it's Howie. That's part of the problem.
Right, that's what I mean.
Said, don't play Fogum.
That's what I mean.
When Arthur Whiteside was running out for Patters, if you want to call it that, now he doesn't dress.
Six highest receiving yards in the league like 6 weeks ago. We saw him once yesterday
the
before the fourth.
Is about mess, and you got to clean this mess up with a big mop. Now, at 5 o'clock, I want to go over some sound from Doug Peterson, where he's going to give you his resume and tell you that he should keep the job because he knows how to fix it. He didn't fix crap all year, but he knows how to fix it now. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Football Monday in the 5 o'clock hour. It is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. You can take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big year-end sale. Receive 40% off all windows and doors until December 31st. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit GOGUIDA.com. All right, this is Football Monday, and we go from Brian Westbrook to our next analyst, the 5 o'clock hour. He owns the 5 o'clock hour, and he owns Wednesday nights here on 97.5 The Fanatic. He's the great number 7, Ron Jaworski. Brought to us, Tyrone, by
Barlow Chevrolet. Barlow Chevrolet is looking for your trade, and there might be more equity in your vehicle than you think. Trade up to a new 2021 Chevrolet today. Find new roads at Barlow Chevrolet in Delran or at BarlowChevrolet.com.
Mr. Jaworski, how are things going for you today?
Michael, actually, very good. Looking forward to 2021 because we're all trying to forget 2020, and I'm sure the Eagles feel the same way, and all Eagle fans feel like I do. What a disappointing, not end to our season, but end of our chances to get to the playoffs yesterday.
Yeah, and I would love to forget this year, except I can't because it leads to so many questions. And so let's get into a few of them here. And listen, you know how I feel about this head coach. It was really cemented yesterday. I don't think he knows what he's doing. I think whatever he had, he lost, and there needs to be a change. And I know you're not going to say that, but comment on what you think his performance was this year.
No, I'm not for change. You know, I think there are corrections that need to be made. That's obvious. This team is 4-10-1. You'd have to be a moron to say everything is fine. It's not. And changes in some areas need to be made. Evaluations need to be made. And, you know, if you got to make those hard decisions, Jeffrey Lurie, you know, has to make those decisions. But I've been steadfast on my feeling about this 2020 season. I told you I was not happy when Bill O'Brien got fired and Matt Patricia got fired and, Dan Quinn got fired down in Atlanta. I just think it is such a difficult year, season to evaluate people on their performance. I find it even in my personal business, you know, people have gone through so much in this COVID era, people just trying to survive, and you know, it's just so abnormal that I just feel strongly about, you know, not just letting people go, although things didn't go well, and say you're fired, because this year has been such an aberration from what we consider a normal football season.
I get that, but I look at the AFC and I see double digit. I see 7 teams that are double digit wins. They had to go through the same thing. So by any measure, this team, I didn't even get to the NFC because there's several that won double digit wins already. There's 4 teams that are double digit wins. So something went really wrong this year. And there is always the chance that a coach goes sour with a certain team. And I believe that has, when you win 4 games and you look at yesterday, terrible mistakes that in week 16, like false starts and coming off the run again when it worked early and 4th down, not knowing what to do and haphazardly. I've had enough, Ron.
Yeah, you know what? I understand your feeling. I understand the passion that Eagle fans have for this team, and I sense that disappointment, and I feel disappointment because I feel the same way. I am just of the belief that if you blow this thing up and start from scratch, now, like I said, there are a lot of issues. We don't have enough time even the whole day today to talk about them. But if you blow this thing up and start all over again with the cap restrictions that are now going to be in place because of overpaying players for past performance and or any way you want to talk about it. I'm just not a big believer in blowing it up. I think corrections need to be made at every level of the organization. And I said to you a few weeks ago, this is an organizational failure, not Doug Peterson, not Carson Wentz, not Jalen Hurts, not the defense, not the offense, not the special. They're, everyone's involved in this. This is a 4-10 football team, Mike. Now you can, you know, there's a caveat we could all throw out there, the injuries, and certainly help deplete this football team in a very big way. But other teams have overcome those injuries, and, you know, you just mentioned teams with double digit wins, and they've dealt the same COVID we've all dealt with, but it hasn't been the same for everyone. It hasn't been the same for, the Raiders and the Browns, who had four receivers benched on Saturday before the game due to COVID. So it hasn't been the same. Everyone's had dealt with it a little bit differently. But I made that statement as a general thought. I just don't see anyone losing their job unless you go through a thorough evaluation. If they're a good coach, a bad coach, a good special teams coach, a good offense coordinator. But only Doug and Howie and Jeffrey know those answers.
All right, Ron, what is the upside of keeping it together? Like, next year they need so much. They're not going to contend next year. So if there's ever time to blow up, it would be now. What's the upside of keeping it together? What have we learned from this year that we should say, well, you keep going with this?
I think if you looked at it in a microcosm this year, you could say, yeah, hey, there's probably some reason to make some changes. But I'm not going to look through that small window. I'm looking through the bigger window, the bigger lens of where this team has been over the last 5 years. You know, it has won football games. It has won a Super Bowl. It has overcome difficult times. This team has not quit on Coach Peterson. They've battled their butts off. Now, hey, the talent.
Did they battle their butts off yesterday?
I think they did.
Six false start penalties is battling your butts off?
Well, that's battling. It's stupid battling, but it's battling.
Oh, but it's not thinking. So you're not, that's not battling.
Well, that's a lack of discipline is what it is. And, you know, you may want to say the coach is responsible for that, or you got dumb players. I can't give you a specific answer, but I just don't see blowing this up is the answer to it.
All right. Listen, I just don't see what the upside would be to keep it together. Howie Roseman's had plenty of chances. Who's a keeper on this team that he selected? There are no keepers. He's had his chance. He didn't perform well enough. Doug Peterson, I know that he had a shine on him several years ago. He hasn't performed well enough over the last 3 years. This team has regressed, and four wins is four wins. It's ridiculous.
You know, Bill Parcells always says, you are who your record says you are. They're 4-10-1. And I'm not saying, oh, everything is nice and rosy. It is not. There are a lot of challenges with this football team at every level, offensively, defensively, and special teams. In the secondary, on the defensive line, at the linebackers, offensive line, wide receivers, tight ends, you name it. There are some problems everywhere on this football team. That's what happens when you're 4-10-1. You have a lot of personnel issues. You have a lot of problems. You have mental mistakes. You have, you know, holding penalties. You have bad penalties. You have pre-snap penalties, which are horrific and totally unacceptable. I'm not exonerating anyone from that because there was some bad, dumb football played. But I just don't see I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to say get rid of everyone. I think there's some really good things within this team. And we may have to do some searching for it, but there are some good things. And I'm just not one to say let's blow this thing up right now.
All right. I don't see many good things as much as you. Let's talk about the, oh my God, you to say something.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I just don't see many good things. I'm sorry. Let's talk about the quarterback. How do you evaluate Jalen Hurts yesterday in the overall scope of things? Because obviously he hit some challenges yesterday.
Well, no question about it. After the first quarter, I thought it was going to be a hell of a game for the Eagles offense. I mean, they looked sharp. The play design was extraordinary. You had, you know, DeSean Jackson comes up with an 81-yard big play and, you know, then disappears. It just kind of bizarre how that whole thing played out. But after a quarter, man, I'm thinking, all right, we're coming back to Philly with the NFC East on the line against the Washington football team. It's going to be a great game next Sunday. And all of a sudden, the roof caved in. I mean, this team just fell apart after getting a 14-3 lead. So that part of it was very disappointing. I was looking forward to at least a meaningful football game in week 17.
All right, so you saw what happened in the first half. Zone read, the quarterback successful. All of a sudden it went away. Is that not a product of coaching?
Yeah, well, it certainly is the play calling. And Mike, here's the other thing. You know, the first thing you hear, you know, after the game, and is, well, you know, Jalen may have had some, you know, lower body soreness and things like that.
I saw where he got hit, and he came up and started, I know the play, so.
Mike, I've been doing this show with you for probably 20 years now.
Uh-huh.
We all go nuts over these mobile runaround quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's the problem you deal with when you run. You get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we get excited for the wrong reasons about the quarterback position. You know, I want my quarterback, I don't want to make comparisons to a Manning, a Brady, Rodgers, guys again, who are for the most part, they're play from the pocket, throw the football. You start getting whacked by defensive players in this league, you don't last very long. And the cumulative effect of those hits wears on a guy, you know, I just think we sometimes look at the quarterback position and say, well, you know, I want the new shiny toy. I want the guy that can run around and make plays with his legs. I get excited about those guys too, but they very seldom last for a season or have a long career in this league. This is a violent game that these guys play. And when the quarterback breaks that pocket, they know one thing. He's a running back and we can tattoo his butt. And that's what defenses do. And the first thing you start hearing in his third start, now he had lower body soreness. He had this hurting. Of course, when you're going to take the hits you take as a quarterback running the football, it's hard enough to be successful playing from the pocket. So I get very concerned about guys that want to run around and make plays. And by the way, I thought he made some great plays in the game. Some terrific plays in the game. He made some mistakes, but when you're playing from behind, sometimes you got to try to do some 50-50 throws and maybe you come up with a play. Jalen Hurts didn't lose this game.
Yeah.
It wasn't his.
Well, what is he to you? Like if you evaluate him as a quarterback, what is he? Is he a starter? Is he a guy that can lead a franchise? Is he a starter can lead the Eagles? Like where do you stand on this whole thing?
Mike, the sampling to me is way too small. You know, I've seen Jalen play at Alabama, terrific. Oklahoma, terrific. You know, in three starts with the Eagles, he's played really good football. I still think that at this level, it's too small of a sampling to say I can project him for greatness. You know, we had projected Carson Wentz for greatness, you know, into 4 years, and you see what happened. There's no guarantee in this business. You've got to work your butt off every single day. And by the way, no one's questioned the work ethic of Jalen Hurts or Carson Wentz and their commitment to help the Eagle football team. But they got to be put in a position where they can be successful as well. But I think both Carson Wentz, I think he'll be better after what he's had to deal with this year. He'll be a better quarterback. And I think Jalen Hurts has a big, bright future.
All right, so are you suggesting that they both come back next year and that Hurts is his backup? What because, you know, that's precarious.
Yeah. You know, there's that old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. So, I think these are two very talented guys. Now, I'm just giving my personal opinion. I'm not sure how this is going to play out, and I don't think anybody does right now. I would bring them both back to camp. I'd bring them both back. I said this, and you think I'm crazy. Let's go. We got two talented guys. Let's compete for this job. And if one of you guys falters somewhere down the road, the other guy steps in again. There's two talented guys. Let them fight it out.
All right.
I don't know how they get rid of the salary of Carson Wentz.
Well, that's what I mean. You got to keep Wentz. And what I'm asking is, do you have to move Hurts now for value and instead of spooking Carson? Because it looked like clearly he wasn't comfortable with that whole situation. And I don't know what could change next year where he's going to be comfortable with it.
Well, I don't know how uncomfortable Carson was. I always respect the guy that doesn't want to be the backup quarterback if you're the starter. I mean, clearly you wouldn't want a guy that's, oh, great, I got benched, I'm happy. No, I'd want a guy to be ticked off a little bit and be a little bit fiery. But, you know, again, I think we talked about this last week. I have not heard from anyone that I know in that building that has really shredded Carson Wentz. It hasn't happened. Everyone I've spoken to says, hey, he's been a team player. He's been great with Jalen. He's doing all he can to help, and he hasn't shown what at least from some of the things I've read in the newspaper, some of those accounts, I haven't heard them. Maybe someone else has a different connection than I have or people they talk to, but I just haven't heard that about Carson.
All right. We shall see what happens. This is a very interesting situation.
Oh, yeah,
situation.
We will see.
all right, Ron, listen, thank you. Wednesday night, the big Ron Jaworski show. Where will it be?
We'll be at Ramblewood Country Club. We'll be breaking it down again. It's been fun. I mean, it's been. You know, I love when this team wins. A lot easier doing a show. Mike, it's hard doing these shows when the team is losing.
You got a little tennis going on in one of your places, right?
Yeah, we got tennis over at Riverwinds.
Riverwinds. I got to get over there. I get tutored. I used to play a lot of tennis. So I got to get back into it.
You know, I used to play tennis, but my knees are shot right now, Michael. But let me know when you want to play. I'll get you some good competition. Hey, you go out there with your buddy Sal Pal. He's the
No. He's too crazy right now. With Sal. I haven't played in a while, so I need one of your pros over there to take me through the. You know,
we got great pros. We got about six of them, and hey, you know, it's good social distancing. You know, you play.
That's why I want to get back into it.
Separated. Yeah. All right, Mike.
All right, Ronnie. Thanks, my friend. There he is, Roger Worski. Okay. Brought to us by
Barlow Chevrolet. Barlow Chevrolet is looking for your trade, and there might be more equity in your vehicle than you think. Trade up to a new 2021 Chevrolet today. Find new roads at Barlow Chevrolet in Delran or at barlowchevrolet.com.
All right, so Ron, optimistic that this crew can come back. And I go, I can't see it. I just don't see what the upside of keeping it together is. It's like you put such a heavy burden on, like, the fan base is checked out on it. Right, so now you're going to bring these guys back, and the family's going to wait for something bad to happen, and it just creates ugliness.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it would hurt both quarterbacks. You could talk about that. Oh, you show up to camp. Here's the problem: Wentz probably will be a better thrower. Hurts will definitely be a better runner. So then the guys who like the running stuff in the locker room, they'll like Hurts. The guys that like the throwing they're going to like Wentz. And then it's like
there's nothing that works about it,
right? That's my opinion. I think you have to pick, and yes, it's a tough decision maybe, but that's what you're getting paid for, to make that tough decision. And if these guys can't, find somebody else who will come in and say, this is the decision. If it's to eat the cap with Wentz, then that guy needs to say, listen, we're going to have a bad year, but I promise you, we'll develop Hurts so that in the following year when we have the $80 million in cap space, we'll surround the guy and we'll win. But or if it's Wentz, then hey, we have to bite the bullet. Get what we can get, make him the guy, rebuild him, and then try to go win a Super Bowl. I think you have to just make a decision.
Well, yeah, because they created this mess themselves. They did this to themselves.
Right.
They have to deal with it, and they have to deal with it now.
And that's why I thought the media did the fans a disservice jumping the gun with the, oh, they would have definitely made the playoffs if you started Hurts and all those things. When you see that Hurts, Jaws just said Hurts didn't lose him the game, but at the same time, Hurts couldn't overcome the roster.
He scored a point in the second half.
Right.
I mean, seriously. The people, it's funny because nobody has balls enough to come out and say, Hurts wasn't the problem. Nobody was happy with Hurts yesterday. We would have got some calls saying, I still think he's a good player, but we haven't got one call yet about that.
No, but people before the game were writing
to
think if you had just moved a couple of weeks earlier. And I'm like, how do you know that based on? And this has nothing negative actually to do with Hurts. It has to do with how we're just doing these reactions. And they bought the propaganda that the whole problem was the quarterback. Now we've seen 2 weeks in a row where the quarterback didn't play, the one they were blaming, and they still lost both games. Why? Yeah. Because it's the roster. It's not just the quarterback. That doesn't change the fact, by the way, that Wentz stunk. It's saying the roster still stunk. The line still stunk. The defense still stunk. The wide receivers still stunk. That happened all year. They stunk all year.
Yes.
I think people just kind of hoped that it would just be as simple as the quarterback, but anybody who's been watching this team all year long should be smart enough to know.
Yeah. Can we hear Doug? Can we hear some resume, Doug?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'll hear some resume, Doug. If you missed the presser that Doug had today, he made it a point to put out his resume and why he should be back to fix things, he said.
Yeah, he did it twice. So this was the first one where the question was, why does he have confidence? Mm-hmm. And then this is how he answered it. And then another one was about the young players, and he threw his resume in again. Yeah. So it happened twice. Here's the first one.
All right.
You know, in regards to my status, obviously, Jeffrey and I have a lot of conversations throughout the season. You know, obviously, our main focus is on the season right now. Currently, we still have one game to play. My confidence lies in myself, that I know exactly how to get things fixed. We've won a lot of games around here. We've been in the postseason 3 out of the last 5 years that I've been here, a championship and all that. So I've seen it. I've done it. That's where my confidence lies. And so these conversations that we're talking about will be at the appropriate time.
All right. We've won a lot of games around here. 3 of the last 5 in the playoffs.
Championship
and all that.
Right.
Why is it about him again?
All right. Well, because he's now a desperate man. A desperate man is one that tries to convince other people that he's worthy.
And this is another cut where the question was actually about some of these young players that he had alluded to, and then he throws in the resume one more time.
You know, me personally, I've been in three Super Bowls. I've been on three Super Bowl teams, and I've seen exactly how it can be done. And we've got to get that back. We've got some great players. We got some great young players, and they're getting valuable experience right now playing. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, we're not winning these games. You know, and I think of yesterday's game is kind of like how our season's gone. We've had opportunities, right? We're in the red zone, we're in the scoring zone, and
we have a great young player. You know, before that press conference, I guarantee he went to PR. He goes, "Make sure, is Jeffrey hooked up? Make sure Jeffrey's hooked up, because I want him to hear that." I've been, put me personally, three Super Bowls, Jeff, and even talking to Jeff. With this presser.
Audience of one.
Yeah. But hey, the young player. Hey, you know I've done it. I've been there, done that. You know,
yeah, I've been three Super Bowls. I got three Super Bowls.
Man, you were the first two. You were Sudfeld for two of them. You were Sudfeld for two. And then this one, I can't take away, obviously. But the first two, he's talking about when he was backing up Favre. He was Sudfeld.
That's a desperate act.
Only there was no tablets back then, so he was walking around with a clipboard. No helmet.
Take a break. If you want to squeeze in, it's 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
My final Twin Poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Winter is here. Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown is your stop for snow blowers or generators or chainsaws, whatever you need this winter. Stop by their Doylestown location or order online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie, the final numbers.
All right, Mike, over 1,300 votes on this one. Should Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman's jobs be safe now that the Eagles will officially miss the playoffs? 3% say yes, mainly Wentz's fault. 4% say no, bad coaching. 16% say no, bad roster. 77% say no, bad coaching and roster.
Yeah, well, that's the way I feel. So let's see what the people, as many calls we can, is before we get the sound off on this Monday, Football Monday. Sal in South Jersey, what's up, Sal?
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. I enjoy the show.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks. Yeah, I think it's a little going to be a little devil's advocate here. I think it's possible that some people are being a little harsh on Doug. Bear with me here. When Andy Reid was the coach, I remember a lot of things being said from the media, and I heard things like, this team is poorly coached. You need to put players in a better position, but you're not putting players in a better position. Andy Reid refuses to run the ball. He cannot manage a clock. He cannot think on his feet. Mm-hmm. He cannot make in-game adjustments. He only won because of Jim Johnson's defense. I mean, just so many points, some of them that we're hearing now.
They were all accurate, by the way. Yeah. Just because he went to Kansas City and won a Super Bowl. I mean, he's shown a lot of progression, by the way. But it got stale for Andy in those last few years. And he went 8-8, 4-12. It was stale.
Exactly, but my point is, we all wanted a change, and it's tempting to want that change, something new. Let's see what someone else can bring in, etc. Maybe it's getting stale. But the bottom line is, most, if not all, NFL analysts would say that Andy Reid is an incredible coach.
Andy Reid is an incredible coach who's been in the league for a lot of years to be an incredible coach. He's a better coach than Doug Peterson.
But my point is that even amazing coaches like a Reed, like a Sean Payton, a lot of these coaches are going to go through seasons in which they're going to have losing seasons. Does this mean that Doug Peterson
even though it looks on the surface, Andy was scrutinized and analyzed week by week.
Andy Reid also averaged double-digit wins per year, as did Sean Payton. Now, I don't know. Can you add up the last 3 years for Doug Peterson?
This is
you,
true.
You get double-digit?
No, he did not get double-digit. Oh. But he has had winning seasons. Granted,
he had one Super Bowl year. It was amazing. That doesn't mean he's a good coach now.
And maybe a little, we may be hitting the trigger a little too soon here. The guy did win. I know.
What did you see this year with Doug Peterson? What did you see that you want to still back him?
I'm not going to lie. I'm curious to see what's out there too, Mike. I have the wandering eye, but at the same time,
that's not what I asked you. What did you see in Doug Peterson where you go put your head on a pillow and go, boy, he's a really good coach?
As far as the evidence is concerned this year, like you said, and like Tyrone has alluded to many times and very accurately, this roster is flawed.
It's flawed, and the general manager should go too. I'm not absolving him, but let's not get carried away on this coach's ability because they won a Super Bowl. The last 3 years have been nothing.
No, I hear you. I'm not saying that he's the be-all, end-all, but I'm saying that it's very possible that a lot of the people are willing to let him go, maybe prematurely.
Yeah, I don't agree. So I just don't agree. I've seen enough. I've seen a lack of innovation. I've seen a lack of being able to coach on your feet. You know, and so that Super Bowl year is more of an aberration than norm because he hasn't got did he get to double digits? Has he been double digits since the Super Bowl year? He is not.
No.
He won 9-7 and four. Right?
No, he won 9-9.
9-9-4. Four.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, he hasn't been. And I'm looking at Andy Reid, and like, I know he had to leave here. But if you look at Andy Reid's, first of all, it's insulting to Andy Reid. I'm looking at these win totals. This dude's double figures.
He's averaged double figures.
He's averaged double figures.
Somebody emailed me and said, "There's Sean Payton, you have 3 losing years." Yeah, and with that, he still averages double figures.
Andy Reid is 221, 129, and 1. He's almost 100 games over 500 as a coach. You know how good that is over 27 years?
Yeah. All right, 9-9-4 last 3 years. Listen.
He's not Andy Reid. He's not.
The trend is, that's not a good trend. If you're playing the stock market, that wouldn't be a good trend. Let's go, Matt in York. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mikey.
What's up, Matt?
Happy holidays, baby.
You too, buddy.
Hey, I don't know if you remember me, but I call all the time when the Eagles get beat by the Cowboys.
You were the Cowboy guy. You were a very uninteresting caller.
Oh, Mikey, come on.
Don't dare brag on it. Don't dare brag on this Cowboy team because they won yesterday. Please.
Well, we didn't just win.
Spare me that.
In every stage.
Yeah, come on, man.
So I saw in the papers that a quarterback became available today.
Yeah, that's Haskins. Yeah.
You don't want him?
No.
He's better than Hurts?
No, he's not.
He's better than Wentz?
Come on, man. See, this is the reason why your calls have been lousy. You're terrible. You're a terrible caller.
Come on, Mike.
You are. Now, listen, do you get us on TV in York?
No, I don't watch TV. I only watch you guys lose.
All right. Why do you waste my time with this call with the Cowboys? They won a game yesterday, 6-9. Let's go to Tony Lancaster. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
There you go. My main man, Mike Missanelli.
What's up, Tony, from Lancaster? What's going on?
Hey, I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling out here with the cows and the horses. You know how I do it.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, listen, I got a question for you. I want to make you guys 3 managers of the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, and
coaches, you
I'm
mean?
A manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I call you and I say, listen, I'll take one of those quarterbacks off your hands for a second round pick and one of their receivers, one of the fast receivers that the Steelers have. What I want to know from you 3 is which quarterback would you give up?
Practically it has to be Hurts, because if you give up the other one, it's 34.6 off your salary cap. So I just got the answer rationally and say Hurts.
Okay. Now, my question would be, I don't know if you really, you know, because I've been watching these games, man, and it seemed like my problem with Hurts is he's trying to prove too much that it should be his team when I feel like Wentz has proven that it's not. So either way, I agree with you with that. It has to be Hurts because you have to take that salary cap. But now, don't they have it where somebody could take the salary from you if they choose to?
No.
No,
it's not the salary. It's a salary cap hit. You have to take 34.6. You can't rub that away.
Okay. My last question to you, man, is how you been doing, though?
I'm hanging in there. No complaints.
I'm always glad to see you on TV, man.
Well, thank you, man. Tony, it's good to hear from you.
You've been a good friend of mine for the last 20-something years. So.
All right, buddy.
Good to see you, my friend.
I appreciate that, Tony. Thank you
very
much. All right, man. You got it. Right. Oh, this is Sixer News in. This is not good.
No, there's not.
Furkan Korkmaz is out 2 weeks with I have no game strain.
It's a left adductor.
Oh, it's a shoulder sorry. Adductor. I thought it was no game.
You must have read it wrong.
I read it wrong?
Yeah.
That's right. I don't know how I read it.
Shoulder adductor.
Inductor.
Sometimes it misspells.
I got no game out of that. But,
I mean,
you know what probably happened?
Word scrambled or something.
You know what probably happened? Doc was going, hey, they said you were a shooter because they say Doc's pretty direct. I don't see any shots going in because he made half his threes in the first game, did 20% against the Knicks, and then none last night. You know, I can't have you out there. And he goes, Coach, my inductor's hurt. And he says, all right, well, then you're out for a couple weeks, right? And when you come back, you're going to make shots because if not, you're going back to Turkey. And that was the conversation.
Is that what it was?
That's what I believe happened.
Okay.
I mean, in all seriousness, I hope he's not. I don't want anybody to be injured, but he looks... Man, if they play defense on him, that shot just doesn't look the same. When he's wide open, it looks like it's all right. But when there's defense, he's just launching it.
I have nothing to say about him anymore.
I know he's your least favorite player.
Quirky Doodle.
I have nothing.
He's your least favorite player, probably in history. Seriously, I don't know if you ever disliked a player more than him.
Justin Anderson comes pretty close.
Anderson didn't do anything wrong.
No, I think Corey
was. You okay with
he's
Jay?
He's my number one hate list.
Yeah, like for a long time.
Yeah, from the jump.
Yeah, from the jump. He's not a shooter.
Yeah, Chuck in Florida. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
What's
how
up,
you doing,
Chuck?
Bro?
How you doing?
Nothing, just watching a horrible season, you know, and like always going to sports bars that are still open. But you know what? As far as the quarterback controversy goes, I really don't care who's our quarterback, just as long as we have the better, as we make the right decisions, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Jalen Hurts, I like Carson Wentz a lot, and I think he's going through a hard time. But, you know, like if we can, and I like Carson, if we can unload him somehow and get rid of his salary. Now, I was at a family party and saw New Yorkers in Boston and Philadelphia people, and they're saying, here's how we unload Carson Wentz. And you tell me if this will work, okay?
Go ahead.
All right.
I can tell you right away it's not going to work, but go ahead.
All right, okay. So we trade them to the Patriots or we trade them to Frank Reich. And they sign him, and they give him a major signing bonus. Can he buy himself out of the Eagles contract?
No. No matter what they move him, it costs you 34.6 on your salary cap.
Well, that's horrible. And I'm not going to keep you much longer because that was one of my questions. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is I totally blame Doug Peterson for this horrible season and Howie. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's that. So I appreciate you taking my call.
Happy
New Year to all you guys and you and your family, you know?
Thank you, Chuck. And you stay warm down there.
I'm washing my car right now.
I'm sure you are. What's the temp down there today? Where are you in Florida?
I'm in Sarasota, about like 70.
Oh, I love Sarasota. Sarasota's really nice. A little beach community I stayed in for New Year's several years ago. What's that beach? There's a little beach community that's attached to Sarasota.
Never been myself.
It's a cute little beach town.
I don't know about that.
I got away in the morning, got my wheatgrass shot.
Really?
Yeah. I was living in that. Yeah, a little wheatgrass shot. They had a nice little Mexican joint that I used to hang out at.
Interesting.
Hold on a second.
I don't know. I only know Clearwater
what is it called?
It's Clearwater, Disney. Tampa, a little Disney.
Disney, Orlando.
Beach town.
That's about it. Miami.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, I like Miami.
Miami's nice. Sand's great there.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but it was a really cool little beach town that was outside Sarasota. Siesta Key.
Siesta Key?
Siesta Key.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Wait.
Siesta Key.
It's might have been there, actually.
That's Sarasota. It's just the Key Beach.
I went on a cruise.
Yeah?
And I think it might have went there.
Really?
Could be wrong.
Possibly.
I think it was on an island.
Very calming, little peaceful little beach strip.
With wheatgrass.
The lady, she was like a naturalist. She was attractive, too. She opened this like natural juice shop.
Oh, ahead of her time.
And I would watch her grind the wheatgrass, like freshly ground wheatgrass. Put a little lead in your pencil, that wheatgrass.
Did you feel any different?
I don't know. It was like something to do.
You know,
living a natural beach life.
If not for the Florida part, Florida would be all right. You can just remove the Florida. If you could just remove the Florida from Florida, yeah. It'd be awesome.
You know, Siesta Key is like one of those things, like away from the maddening Fort Lauderdale, Miami, not West Palm, not, you know, like, it's like sleepier. It's actually kind of cool, Sarasota side.
Yeah, I have to check it out. Yeah. I'm going to get down there post-pandemic, probably in March.
There you go. Go to Siesta Key. I can get a little wheatgrass in here.
I'll figure something out.
Yeah, it's all natural. No, you know, no meats. That'd be perfect.
They have wheatgrass here, too.
I know, but this
cold
is like...
Cold weather wheatgrass, though.
Wheatgrass does it matter?
It matters to me. Yeah, like, you want to be a warm thing.
Yeah, it's a beachy thing. It's a beachy thing. You get up in the morning, and it's like 80... And you wander over there like 10 o'clock, you get a little wheatgrass shot.
It's like
a
gazpacho.
Yeah. Well, it's the more energizing, the wheatgrass, I think. It's supposed to be. You know, the only part of it is it's a disgusting green that you have to gulp down.
Yeah.
That's not great.
All right. We're back after this. Sound off's coming your way.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
All right, time for sound off. Following a Neagle football game. Sound off, always a pleasure. 610-771-9705. You got something to say, hit us up. And you got something to say at about 7 o'clock last night. So let's hear what you had to say.
I would like to present game balls to the following. Michael Jacquette for his best impersonation of Izell Tosh Jenkins. Jalen Hurts, great magic act of changing back into a rookie before our very eyes. And Dougie Durong, abandoning the run once again and going for 4th and 15 when he should have kicked the field goal. Finally, the Dallas Cowboys of putting us fans out of our misery.
Well, that's what I thought we'd get. Nice first salvo there. So let's go. Keep going.
Mike, it's an embarrassment that Howie Rose missed the GM where there's $70 million over the cap next year. It's an even bigger embarrassment that Doug Peterson is the head coach, or should I say the head moron. I don't know how this dude was able to win a Super Bowl.
Well, you know, I hate to like go back there and cheapen the accomplishment, and so I won't. I will only judge this day forward. It's like, what is it, December 28th? December 28th at 5:48.
Mm-hmm.
I'm judging.
So the Eagles are the only team that gets eliminated from the playoffs before Week 17. In the worst division in the history of the NFL. Man, if that ends up not being enough to get this head coach fired, what the hell ever will be? They take a step back every year under this guy.
won the Super Bowl, lost the divisional round, lost in the wild card round, lost in the playoffs. Every year with him, they've gotten worse.
I agree with you. And, I think they both of them need to go, the head coach and the GM.
I'm in a loss, so I'm calling you. Peterson needs to go, and they might as well hitch up a wagon for Schwartz, too, because his defense cannot tackle. They don't wrap anybody up. They think it's touch football out there. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of personnel on that defense, so I get it. Their secondary is just feeble. It's feeble. I've never seen anything like it. And not only that, when you judge Doug, they lost to this Drek. They lost to the Drek in the comments. They lost. They lost to each one of them.
I am so tired of hearing people mispronounce the name. It is Jacquois, not Jacquet. Jacquois. It is French. It stands for catch as many passes as you want because my stupid defensive coordinator won't make a change.
it seems like Jonathan Vilma had it. You're right, technically it's French and it probably is Jacquet or whatever. Vilma had a tough time with it. It's been anglicized to it's Jacquet.
Or Jacquet.
Jacquet.
Some people are just saying, what's Jacquet doing out there?
It's Jacquet. Vilma couldn't get it because he was getting tripped up on it.
12 penalties for 122 yards. And the guy that the announcer said early in the game couldn't believe his speed.
Wait, what happened? What happened, my man? What was he saying about his speed?
Nah, it was a technical issue. Let's try that again.
All right, try it again.
12 penalties for 122 yards. And the guy that the announcer said early in the game couldn't believe his speed, DeSean Jackson, never heard his name again. The offense was horrible. The defense wasn't much better. They made this quarterback for the Cowboys, Dalton, look like Joe Montana.
Yeah, regarding DeSean, he wasn't even targeted. But I got to think that DeSean, had his one run there, and he kind of, felt bruised up. And I don't know at that point whether he was really straining to get open, to be honest with you.
Yeah, all I know is Eagles better not have one starter on that field Sunday. It better be practice squad players. I don't see anybody. I want the draft pick. I don't care if Washington rolls us. I hope they do roll us so Dallas doesn't get in. I hope Sunday night football with the Eagles and the Redskins is exactly as bad as it sounds.
They won't play. I don't think he'll play the unplay. He'll go out to try to win it. This is like Doug. He just gave you his resume there. He's not gonna turtle now. He's gonna get that one last win and leave Jeffrey with that impression.
30-17 with 4:03 left in the game. Dallas is punting. However, on the play that Hurts was sacked on, refumbled, and the Eagles recovered, they faked a handoff to Sanders up the middle. He'd still be running. That hole was so big, I could have drove my truck through it. What the hell is Peterson doing?
Well, I don't know. I don't recall the mechanics of the play. I know that was a horrible call. I don't know how you could look at the replay and not see that his knee was down. Not that it would have made any difference, but I was like, what are they seeing that I'm not seeing?
That was odd.
All right, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets up.
See you later.
All right, yeah, with Sound Off. Hey, stay tuned right here on 97.5 The Fanatic for the Inside the Birds show. Jeff Mosher, Adam Kaplan, should be very entertaining. 6 to 8 tonight, presented by DraftKings and NBC Sports Philly. Yes, it is Eagles postgame live. And you want to relive that because it was active. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.